fast, it prevents or quickly relieves tough heartburn, the speed you need against heartburn. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow. For today, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy again with a chance for showers. The high should be in the 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 70 degrees as well. Stay tuned for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother, Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you! Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, keeping your car full of antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep you and your family and other drivers safer, while keeping your car more fuel efficient, thus protecting the environment. That's why the Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. Read your owner's manual, talk to a qualified service technician, and use an online resource. For more information on how to keep your car running safely, visit vehiclemanager.com. Take care of your car. It will save you money, and it will protect you and your family and other drivers. This has been a public service message from the Car Care Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Progress is in the womb, but below me.
that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Where do we begin? Well, I believe that we begin at, I don't know. I'm still trying to decide that. There were so many stories over the weekend that I want to share with you all. And I think that I'm going to start with lies. I'm going to start with lies and damnable lies. Let me start with this particular lie, because it's important that, I mean, I want you to hear this, okay, and take it upon face value until I discuss the following with you. Now, listen to what Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said about the detainees.
They're being interrogated in a way that is 100% consistent with the Geneva Conventions.
Okay, Howard, do that again, because I really want this. I want this to resonate with folks. Because there's been some question. There's been some question about the honesty, the veracity, and the ability of this administration to tell the truth about what is going on in Guantanamo Bay. We have had former intelligence officers talk about what's happening in Guantanamo Bay, and it ain't pretty. We've had Amnesty International talk about it, and it ain't pretty. We've had the Red Cross talk about it, and it ain't pretty. It ain't nice, and it certainly has nothing to do with the Geneva Convention. So I want you to hear the words out of Bill Frist's mouth one more time.
They're being interrogated in a way that is 100% consistent with the Geneva Conventions.
Okay, how do you get to the truth? How do you get to whether or not an individual is, in fact, telling you the truth or lying to you? I've never met Bill Frist. Most of you, 99.999% of you listening to my voice all across this world, have never laid eyes upon Bill Frist, let alone shake his hand, let alone have the opportunity to look him in the eye to see if he's capable of telling the truth. We haven't had that life experience, so what we're going to have to rely upon are other actions to see if they are consistent with the truth. Bump consistent to see if they're in the ballpark of truth. See if they could even put the T in truth. Let's not even get to the rest of the letters. Let's just see if he can get to the T in truth. Now, on the weekend that Bill Frist said that the detainees are being interrogated in a way that is 100% consistent with the Geneva Convention, he also said something else that I find fascinating. I find truly, truly, truly fascinating. and gets us to that place of whether or not we can believe what he says. Because that's what this is all about, is getting to the truth of the matter and getting to the honesty or the ability of honesty of this man. Now, one of the things that Bill Frist has also said, and he said this on the weekend, he said, and I quote, and he said this in the New York Times, you know that he was all up in the business of Terry Schiavo. And this is what he said. People said, Bill Frist, you're making a diagnosis. Doctor, you're trying to wear your white coat on the floor of the Senate. I never made a diagnosis about Terry Schiavo. I wouldn't even attempt to make a diagnosis from a videotape. So he said that this weekend too. And I want to repeat this. He said, I never made a diagnosis. I wouldn't even attempt to make a diagnosis from a videotape. When I saw this weekend, I said, you know what? He would tell. I don't have the exact evidence of it, but I know you would tell. I know that you got up in your white coat as a heart and lung transplant surgeon, if you will. And I know that you rode that all the way down to Florida on the back of Terry Schiavo. I know you made a diagnosis from a videotape. So here's what I did. Did a little research. Did a little web searching. Did a little Googling. My weekends often are filled with Googling. So I Googled me some stuff. And I went to the Christian Communication Network. It's a media relations service since 1989. And I looked at the first statement on the passage of the Terry Schiavo bill. Not the second statement, not the 100th statement, not the 300th statement, but the very first statement on the passage of the Terry Schiavo bill. And it comes from United States Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, MD, they put it. That would be medical doctor. You feel where this is going? When they start throwing their credentials at you, know where this is going. Here's what he said. I am proud of today's Senate passage of the Terry Schiavo bill. As a doctor and a senator. Okay, he didn't say a senator and a doctor. He didn't say as a senator, because that's why he's there. He said, as a doctor and a senator, I believe that Congress must do everything in its power to ensure that any life and death decision is based on a sound medical diagnosis of Terry's condition. Okay, now that's not quite a medical diagnosis, is it? It's not. But it helps set up the rhythm of where we're going. Because when I read that, I said, okay, he's throwing his credentials out there. I know he can't stop. I know he's got to have thrown his credentials out there because despite what he said, I never made a diagnosis. I wouldn't even attempt to make a diagnosis from a videotape. I know that's a lie. So I went a little further. Yes, I did. I Googled me some more. And I found a statement, a floor statement, on behalf of Bill Frist. And when you Google this, the very first thing that it says, it doesn't say United States Senator from Tennessee. That's not first. It doesn't say United States Senate Majority Leader. That's not first. It says Bill Frist, M.D. That doesn't mean mighty dumb. That means medical doctor. Although I could understand why you would get confused. Bill Frist, M.D. They are the bigger letters than senator. They're bigger letters than majority leader. Big letters, Bill Frist, M.D. You feel where I'm going? You feel where he's going? And he says, on March 17th, 2005, not 15 years ago, not 20 years ago, not 30 years ago, just a minute and a half ago, March 17th, 2005. Here's what he said. Mr. President, and this is his statement on the Terri Schiavo bill. Mr. President, he said, in closing tonight, I want to take a few final moments to speak on an issue that I opened with earlier this morning, and it has to do with Terri Schiavo's case in Florida. I'd like to close this evening, and listen very carefully, folks. I would like to close this evening speaking more as a physician than as a United States Senator. You hear what I'm saying? I want to speak as a physician more than as a physician than as a United States Senator, and really speak to my involvement as a physician. Sounds like he's fixing to make a diagnosis, don't it? When I first heard about the situation facing Terri Schiavo, I immediately wanted to know more about the case from a medical standpoint. I asked myself, just looking at the newspaper reports, is Terri clearly in this diagnosis called a persistent vegetative state? Does that sound like he's getting towards a medical diagnosis? I was interested in this in part because it's a very difficult diagnosis to make. They're tough diagnoses to make. Then he goes on four paragraphs later, it's very tough diagnosis. So I asked to see court affidavits, and I received those court affidavits, and I had an opportunity to read over them in the last 48 hours. And I've determined that no neurologist has been able to examine her. I'm not positive about that, but I was told that no neurologist has been able to examine her. But at the time, she was clearly not in a vegetative state, and a neurologist would take care of, and she wasn't at the extreme end of her disability. I talked to her family and had the opportunity to meet her son. And her son told me that she has a severe disability. And here we go to the kicker, folks. Persistent vegetative state, which is what the court has ruled. Now, I want to go back to the first sentence. I'd like to close this evening speaking more as a physician than as a United States Senator. And I'm going to go to this sentence. Persistent vegetative state, which is what the court has ruled, I question it. As a physician, I question it based on a video footage which I spent an hour or so looking at in my office last night here in Washington, D.C. Footage to me that depicts something very different than a persistent vegetative state. So what did he say in March as a doctor, March 17th, 2005? I question the persistent vegetative state. I watched the video. And it depicts something very different than persistent vegetative state. And what does he say on Saturday? People said, Bill Frist, you're making a diagnosis. Doctor, you're trying to wear your white coat on the floor of the Senate. I never made a diagnosis, he said. I wouldn't even attempt to make a diagnosis from a videotape. So, Howard, play it again. Play it again.
They're being interrogated in a way that is 100% consistent with the Geneva Conventions.
You think he's telling the truth? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We got to take a break. I'll be back at you. We have so much more to talk about. Stay with me.
Television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even when the darkness shall come. Oh, 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 oh.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Toyota Parts and Service from your Toyota Parts dealer. On the ramp from McDonald Boulevard to southbound 270, there's a report of an overturned vehicle. Northbound 55 between Rivers Ferris and Arsenal, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Geyer, look for nothing going on there. Eastbound 40 between Boone's Crossing and all the way into Dallas, everything is on the move. Northbound 270 from Sappington to Big Bend, look for traffic to be flowing freeway. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55, everything's on the move. Westbound 270 from Lilac to New Florissant, look for everything to be on the move. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge is closed due to northbound Route 3's ramp to westbound 5570, closed through late June due to deck repairs. The detours to take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street, then double back on to westbound 5570. So no delays at this hour. Your bridges stack up like this. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is on the move. Westbound 64 to 5570, no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. Union at Del Mar, there's a report of an accident investigation going on involving a police vehicle. That intersection is closed at this hour. And Old Highway 94 to Jungerman, look for an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic maintenance. And when it's time, make sure to bring your car to your local Toyota dealer, offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, a high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 90 as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 64 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. So up next, we'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I believe the children are our future. Words in a song, beautiful words. Even more beautiful when those words are put into action. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has believed the children are the world's future, and they've done more than just sing about it. Hope for the Nations is turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders by providing security that lets children grow into confident, skilled young people, by actively training these young people to be not only productive, but also leaders in their society, and by providing micro-enterprise business models that enable them to become self-sufficient. In nearly 20 countries, from Mexico to Malawi, Hope for the Nations puts those words into action every day. See for yourself online at www.hopeforthenations.com. Then put your words into action. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Your number, baby. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400. 454-6609 is my fax. We have much, much, much to talk about. And I just have to finish my final thought here on the Terri Schiavo case. It's not over. I guess it's just like, you know, junkies. When they get that hit, the first hit of heroin or of cocaine or of OxyContin, you know, it's the same rush that Rush Limbaugh felt when he took his first hit. And it's a rush that he attempts to find and attempts to repeat when they get hooked on the good stuff. They can't stop themselves. And it's the same with these Bush boys. They've gotten hooked on self-righteousness. They've gotten hooked on playing people for fools. They've gotten hooked on taking other people's tragedy and making them into an advantage for themselves. Talk about making a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Oh, they do. Oh, they do. George W. Bush's brother, Jebediah, ain't done with Terri Schiavo. Yes, she is dead. Yes, she is buried. But like the political ghoul that he is, he's out there digging it back up. Saying, I ain't done yet. Jebediah Bush has ordered a prosecutor to investigate why Terri Schiavo collapsed 15 years ago. Can you believe that? And I really can't say it the way that I want to say it. Can you believe that stuff? Can you believe that stuff? Jebediah Bush said that he ordered a prosecutor to investigate why Terri Schiavo collapsed 15 years ago, citing an alleged time gap between when her husband found her and when he called 9/11.
Jebediah says his request for the probe was not meant to suggest any wrongdoing by Michael Shiva, huh? Huh? He's suggesting wrongdoing by her mama? Who you suggesting? Huh? These people are biologically precluded from telling the truth. I think that it is. I think, as I stand here on the talk room floor in my black coat, I'm going to put on my doctor's hat and I'm going to diagnose Jebediah Bush and say that he is clinically precluded from telling the truth. He says, I'm asking a prosecutor to investigate why Terri Schiavo collapsed 15 years ago, citing an alleged time gap between when her husband found her and when he called 911, but it was not meant to suggest any wrongdoing by Michael Shiva. You think we stupid? It is a significant question that during this ordeal was never brought up. And when does the time alleged discrepancy occur? When he was on television in 2003 and he gave the time for when he called her, when he called when he found her and when he called the 911. 15 years ago. He's an opportunistic politician. He's a ghoul. And he's a junkie. He is a junkie for taking advantage of situations that will gain him political advantage. He's a ghoul for digging up this woman's body and hopping back on it again. And he's an opportunistic politician. They said she was in a persistent vegetative state. They said that her brain had shrunk to half the size of a person her age. They said that the millions and billions and trillions of neurons were no longer there. They said she was blind. And now Jebediah Bush is saying, oh yeah, I want her husband prosecuted for murder. How do you take the stress of this? This is really, really the husband. And I think that one of the things that Jebediah, there are two things that are motivating Jebediah. One is the Christian right that said that Jebediah should have done something. So he's trying to play to his base. The so-called Christian right is riding him, saying you should have taken the reins and you shouldn't have let them. You should have taken the. You should have made him put that feeding tube back in her. And the second thing that's driving him is the husband took the funeral out of Florida. The husband buried his wife without allowing Jebediah to have the spectacle of the funeral taking place there in Florida. Now, I just got to ask you, out of all the things that impact the state of Florida, how do you feel about the governor weighing into this issue, having his attention drawn to this issue? These are scary times, folks. These are scary, scary, scary times. And they're ghoulish times. Ghoulish, ghoulish, ghoulish. 454-0400 is my phone number. And I think that George W. Bush has been wrong about a whole lot of things. But even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. And I think although George W. Bush was talking about them over there, I think this is what they call an accidental confession.
The terrorists know they cannot defeat our troops, so they seek to weaken our nation's resolve. They know there is no room for them in a free and democratic Middle East, so the terrorists and insurgents are trying to get us to retreat.
They can't beat us, so they want to wear us down. That's what's going on here. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. Much, much, much to talk about. We're taking a break. Stay with me.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3 Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Washington. In his weekly radio address, President Bush said on Saturday that the United States will not get out of Iraq until victory over the terrorists is achieved. This comes at a time when many in Congress are beginning to call for a timetable for withdrawal. A recent Gallup poll indicated 60% of Americans surveyed wanted some troop withdrawal to begin right away. The president said even though many disagree with his decision to remove Saddam Hussein from power, everyone should agree that the world's terrorists have now made Iraq a central front for the war on terror, and our mission will not be accomplished overnight. He expressed optimism that the insurgents will not weaken American resolve, and concluded by saying the troops are fighting the terrorists in Iraq, so you won't have to fight them here at home. And Dateline Washington. The director of the CIA says he is pretty certain where Osama bin Laden is in hiding. But Porter Goss also says he will not be taken into custody until American weaknesses in counterterrorism are fixed. That revelation is in the latest edition of Time magazine. Goss says ways have to be found to use unconventional means in a conventional world and yet be acceptable to the international community. Goss seemed to agree with Vice President Cheney's assessment that the insurgency in Iraq is in its last throes. Goss did not say specifically where he thought bin Laden was, although the intelligence reports indicate he is likely in a border region between Pakistan and Afghanistan. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Live audio on the internet 24/7.
Time to shake, rattle, and roll with 50s at the Hop in Branson, Missouri.
It's your party.
And you don't have to cry.
So you can rock around the clock with 50s at the Hop in Branson, Missouri.
So come on and splish splash with Alley-Oop, Peggy Sue, and Jim Dandy.
Go, Jim Dandy, go!
At 50s at the Hop in Branson, Missouri.
Call 417-335-5300. That's 417-335-5300.
Go, Jim Dandy, go!
Hey, everybody!
Shout! 50s at the Hop!
Radio is a very effective means of communication. Right now, thousands of people are hearing this message. Those same people could be hearing your message on WGNU right now. And each person who hears your ad is a potential customer. Is your business really strong enough that it can afford to pass up that many potential clients? To find out how affordable advertising on WGNU can help your business, call sales manager Brian Kay during regular business hours at 314-454-6660.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Boom, clack, boom, clack. I want a windshot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a windshot, hey. Come on, a windshot, hey. Diggy, diggy, a windshot.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African, and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I guess Governor Bush down there in Florida has never heard of the phrase "rest in peace." What gets me is that it's pretty cynical. It's pretty low down.
Low down, absolutely.
To try to resurrect this whole controversy for political gain. And it's nothing but for political gain.
That's all it is.
To stir up the base, when the latest reports come out that your brother now has an approval rating of 42%.
That's right.
If we can stir up the base and get the base stirred up for the next year's congressional election.
And don't forget, this is redemption also, Ed.
Well, yeah.
This is redemption because the religious right has said that he screwed it up.
It's amazing, you know, people up in Washington, and they always talk about these religious zealots over there in the Middle East. But I guess we have our own Taliban over here who are going to, you know, they want to get government out of your lives except in your bedroom and in your personal decisions.
Other than that,
they want government out of your lives, and they don't want any taxes to pay for anything.
Well, and they want government out of your lives except for the billion-dollar contracts the government hands out to their buddies.
Oh, well, guess who? Our friends at – I just read last week that our friends at Halliburton just got a new contract down in Texas. I wonder why.
And they also got a $30 million contract to build, guess what? A Guantanamo jail.
Yes, yes. Now – Only they. They're the only construction company
in the world.
Build a jail.
In the world.
On a military base. Now, you got construction companies all over the United States building buildings all over these military bases.
That is correct.
Updating new barracks, whatever.
That is correct.
But only Halliburton can build this jail down in Guantanamo Bay.
That's right.
I just think this whole situation that we're in. And I've been around for a few presidents now, thank God. But this is probably going back pretty to the worst situation I've seen since I was a little kid. We had a big recession during the Eisenhower administration, I remember as a kid, and people were getting, surplus food and stuff like that. It was really bad before he left office. But now we have a situation where people have interjected religion into the political realm, and I just think it's horrible.
These are amazingly bad times.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Take care of yourself, Ed. 454-0400 is my phone number. Halliburton will build a $30 million detention facility and security fence at the U.S. Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay. Rumsfeld said on Tuesday, U.S. taxpayers, that's you, that's me, those of us that are in here in the United States, that's you, that's me,
that we had spent more than $100 million on construction costs already. And in case y'all are thinking, well, shoot, $30 million to Halliburton is, how do we say it? Chump change. Know this, that this $30 million is part of a contract that is worth up to $500 million if all options are exercised. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'd hate to have to see Halliburton be reduced into chump change projects. No, baby, this is part of a $500 million project. That's what I'm talking about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Don't forget, at 11 o'clock today, there will be a press conference for the grand opening of the Millions More Movement in St. Louis. The Millions More Movement plan for October 14th through the 16th in Washington, D.C. is the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the historic Million Man March. It was announced in May by a coalition of national leaders. The Millions More Movement looks to refocus the attention of the nation on the plight of those struggling for the kind of freedom, justice, equality desired by common man and woman. Today at 11 o'clock at the 1408 North Kings Highway, you need to come on out, Suite 215, 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 215. For more information, you can call 361-9191, 361-9191. The press conference for the grand opening of the Millions More Movement St. Louis office today at 11 o'clock. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my goodness gracious, we just have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's been about 2 weeks ago that one of your listeners called in to tell us about some deadly waste that was going to be trucked through Missouri. And this is the part that your listeners are going to come under the category of believe it or not. I later heard that the hazmat team heard about this deadly waste that's going to be moved through Missouri by the highways and byways. They heard about it on television. So I couldn't believe my ears, so I wanted to call to find out whether or not this hazmat team would come under the Department of Homeland Security. So what I did first was I looked in the telephone book on the government pages, and there was no listing. So I said, So then I called information and asked for the telephone number of Homeland Security. And you would have thought I had hit him in the face with a wet noodle. There was a big pause. And then the supervisor came on and said, "You want the number for the Homeland Security?" I said, "Well, yes, I would like that if possible." She said, "They're not listed." Now, this is supposed to be a government agency that the taxpayers, we're paying for that. And they're not listed. Now, that should lead people to believe, where is this money going? Where is our tax being going to pay for this? I believe you wouldn't be able to find out who's employed, how many employees they have. It's probably like some kind of big slush fund out there with our tax dollars, and it's being doled out to whomever. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that this should be listed?
Of course. And I got to roll. Thank you, Christine. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Here's something for you, because I try to plan your life. That's really what I try to do. This Sunday, June 26th from 3:30 to 6 p.m., I want you to come on out to the Regional Arts Commission. There's going to be a panel discussion on foreign policy. We're going to have guests talking on Venezuela. We're going to have a former member of the United Nations appointed Truth Commission to talk for El Salvador. We're going to have a panelist talk about her participation as a part of a delegation to Palestine and Israel. We're going to have Harold Compeo to talk about Haiti. I'm going to be there to talk about Venezuela. Please come on out this Sunday, June 26th, from 3:30 to 6 p.m. at the Regional Arts Commission. We're going to have a little foreign policy discussion. All of this is tied into where we are today as a nation, folks. Be there. I'll be talking more about this later on. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
The progress is healing the wound that's below
me. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. After nearly 3 weeks of frustration on Aruba, Natalie Holloway's family hires a lawyer.
This is someone who's going to understand the Dutch law much better than what we understand and be able to get information as it becomes available.
Holloway's stepmother, Robin Holloway, on ABC's Good Morning America. Kevin Bardsley's 12-year-old son vanished nearly a year ago while camping in the mountains of northern Utah, not far from where 3,000 people searched yesterday for an 11-year-old scout who disappeared Friday. Bardsley was there.
It's just one thing I wouldn't want a father to go through. And that's why I think most of these people are here. It's because they don't want him to have to go through this either.
11-year-old Brennan Hawkins was last seen struggling with his equipment at a climbing wall at a Boy Scout camp. Series of deadly suicide bombings over the last few days in Iraq have killed at least 85 people. The latest this morning at a police headquarters in Erbil. 20 were killed by a car bomber dressed as a policeman. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in Cairo.
Democracy can be a path to lasting justice. But the democratic system cannot function if certain groups have one foot in the realm of politics and one foot in the camp of terror.
A public statement from a source close to the family of Michael Jackson's accuser reacting to Jackson's acquittal. ABC's Alex Stone with this ABC News exclusive.
In a written statement given exclusively to ABC News, the boy's family says the teen, quote, put his trust and confidence in Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson violated that trust.
Tom Cruise, not amused as a prankster with a fake microphone, squirted him with water on the red carpet outside the London premiere of War of the Worlds.
You're a jerk.
The man with the water bottle could be charged with assault. This is ABC News.
There are many ways to say goodbye.
See ya.
Cheerio.
Hasta la vista.
Ciao.
Toodaloo.
Bon voyage.
Sayonara, sister.
Later, gator.
You can say goodbye to inflexible business wireless plans any way you choose. Then say hello to Sprint PCS and a variety of flexible plans and services designed especially for your business. Right now, when you activate a new line and sign up for a 2-year service agreement, you can get the new Sprint PCS VI2300 phone by Sanyo for just $1.99. Buy as many as you like at this price. And with traditional voice calling, walkie-talkie style calls, and email capabilities, you'll stay better connected. For this limited time offer, visit a Sprint store or call 1-877-PCS-4-BIZ. That's 1-877-PCS-4-BIZ. Subject to credit. Offer not available everywhere. Subject to changes. Termination fees, terms, and conditions apply. Say hello to savings today.
Hello.
With Sprint, business is beautiful.
How successful will new college grads be in landing their first real jobs? ABC's Vic Ratner takes a look.
You've got the degree, but many new graduates say they don't have paying jobs.
It's exciting on one hand, but on the other hand, it's just really terrifying.
I'm currently looking for a job for this next year.
I find it somewhat overwhelming.
And for good reason. The unemployment rate may be down to 5.1%, but experts such as Elise Gould of the Economic Policy Institute say it's still tough out there.
You're looking at a market that I think is slightly improved over last year, but in no way is it the levels that we saw 4 or 5 years ago.
Vic Ratner, ABC News, Washington.
The head of the credit card processing company that was blamed for a computer hacking incident that may have compromised the accounts of millions of credit card holders says his company, Card System Solutions, should not have been keeping those consumer records in the first place. I'm Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane, and this news report is brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. A woman is recovering this morning following a weekend hit-and-run accident. The woman was crossing eastbound Highway 30 at Interstate 270 at 1:45 Sunday morning when she was struck by an eastbound car. Police say the car then left the scene and continued eastbound on Highway 30. Witnesses described the car as a dark SUV with large chrome wheels and tinted windows. There may have been damage to the left front side of the vehicle. Anyone with information is asked to call the Sunset Hills Police Department at 314-849-4400. Summertime is becoming the busiest time of year for the American family. That's according to a new survey that reports increased family and social obligations associated with warm weather and school vacations may lead many families to overcommit. Time efficiency expert Dorothy Behringer recommends three steps for getting organized.
One, I would suggest having a mantra. Two, planning, then playing. And three, scheduling and sharing. And by mantra, I mean have a word or a phrase such as, let's have fun and be fit this summer. Or, let's have more romance but yet do repairs on the house. Something where the whole family, or husband and wife, can just share in the same lifestyle.
The survey was conducted by Harris Interactive for the makers of Trumbo One Calendar. For information on how to get organized, go online to www.thecenterfororganization.com. The Base Realignment and Closure Commission hearing gets underway at the Bush Center at St. Louis University this morning. Illinois U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Barack Obama and Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich are expected to speak at 10:30 a.m. Illinois Congressman John Shimkus is expected to speak at noon. The BRAC will review the Pentagon's plans for military base closures and present its recommendations to President Bush in early September. On the Pentagon's list for closure or relocation are the Army National Guard Reserve Center at Jefferson Barracks and the 131st Fighter Wing of the Lambert Airport. And finally, as the Blues go up for sale, their home arena is also a focus for concern at St. Louis City Hall. Blues owners Bill and Nancy Laurie announced last Friday their intention to sell the team and keep its lease on the Savas Center. Mayor Francis Slay says keeping the building filled is an important part of keeping downtown vibrant. Savas Incorporated has paid $5.5 million to end its naming rights agreement early. That agreement was set to run through the year 2020 and would have cost Savas just over $62 million. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit 1-800-2-DONATE.org. That's the news for the 7 o'clock hour. Now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by HungryAgents.com. Westbound 270 at McDonald, there's an overturned vehicle in the right entrance lane from McDonald is blocked. That has traffic backed up to southbound Houdershell at this hour. Eastbound 70 at Salisbury, look for an accident. Left lane is blocked inside the express lanes. Northbound 55 between River de Pere and 44, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 at the Chrysler plant all the way through Sappington, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 at Mason, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is flowing freely. Westbound 255 from Telegraph 55, expect normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for a heavy volume this hour. Westbound 5570 from Tudor all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems to report at this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge. Everything is on the move. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 merge to Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume this hour. Union at Del Mar, restrictions are in order due to an accident investigation that's ongoing as we speak. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by HungryAgents.com. Stop paying 5 to 7% real estate commission to your for your home at HungryAgents.com. Top realtors in your neighborhood compete for your listing, saving you thousands. They'll help you find a realtor that's just right for you. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high near 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 90 as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are right at 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65. Both are under clear conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this end?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. The struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. last week, a story broke that kind of got a little buried. And I want to talk about it. I think it is a critical story coming out of Texas, coming out of the Fifth Circuit. coming out of the United States. It's so interesting that a week later we had a story about a resolution, a non-binding resolution, a resolution that was not signed by all 50 senators, a resolution that, if you do a Google search on, has been touted as an apology for the failure of the United States Senate to pass an anti-lynching bill. It just seems so interesting and revealing that we live at a time where we still don't have an anti-lynching bill, but all 50 senators of the United States did not sign on to it, that it was not a binding resolution, that it was not a resolution that was resolved by individual votes, by roll call. And just the week before, we had a case coming out of the Fifth Circuit that demonstrates that we haven't come anywhere. This country has moved very little towards its understanding of who should be killed and how far they will go to kill people of African descent. It's just ironic. Wickedly ironic. Strangely ironic. But truly American ironic. We need to talk about the Supreme Court case and out of Texas. We need to talk about the Fifth Circuit in Texas. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me this morning from the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty from Washington, D.C., David Elliott, the Communications Director. David, good morning.
Well, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Very good. You know, we haven't come that far, have we?
Well, you know, Liz, you were just talking about the resolution on the floor of the U.S. Senate apologizing for all of the thousands and thousands of lynchings that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that faith without works is dead. I think it says that in the Bible.
Yes, it does.
And we have the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals and the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals that want to allow racist jury selection
in order to kill predominantly people of African descent.
Exactly. Faith without works is dead.
Let's talk. Let's back up a little bit, David, because I think that people need to understand a couple of things before we can get to the meat of this case. Can you talk to us about the Batson rule?
Sure. The Supreme Court said in a decision called Batson that was handed down, I want to say, in 1987, that you cannot strike a prospective juror because of his or her skin color, because of their ethnicity, because of their race. You might be able to strike them because they're pro-prosecution or they're pro-defense or you don't like the way they wear their hair or something like that.
A book that they're reading, you don't like, you can strike
right.
them for a lot of things.
Right, but you cannot strike them because of their race.
And David, what got us to the Batson rule?
Well, what got us there is that any time you have an African American, not any time, but many times when you have an African American defendant, prosecutors don't want African Americans serving on the jury because they think that they are going to be more sympathetic. They would rather have an all-white jury because they think that an all-white jury is going to be more prone to reach a guilty verdict and a death sentence.
And the common school of thought, the common school of thought is that That a white jury, an all-white jury, is going to believe if, when it comes down to the credibility of a police officer versus a person accused of a crime, they're going to go with the police officer.
Exactly. They're going to be a little bit more conservative in their makeup and their composition, and so they're going to be a little bit more inclined to reach a guilty verdict.
There you go. And you can't do that.
No, it's illegal. Violates the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
I mean, there were prosecuting officers. I know here in the state of Missouri, in the county of Missouri, the prosecutor for the county of Missouri had a standing rule in his office. When I became a public defender, he had a standing rule in his office and he taught all of the young prosecutors, you strike black people off the jury. You strike them. You don't keep black people on the jury for anything.
Well, that's kind of similar to what happened down in Dallas, Texas, although it was a lot more expansive. Down in Dallas, Texas, young assistant district attorneys, incoming assistant prosecutors, were taught to strike black people, to strike Jewish people, to strike people with long hair, to strike people who were overweight, even, if you could believe that. And they even taught them to strike Italians.
Mm. And what was the reason for it? Because I know that these instructions were not given without explanation.
They thought that all of these different groups of people would be more defense-oriented, more inclined to side with the defense, and less inclined to reach a guilty verdict. Which, by the way, is kind of an insult to black people or to Jewish people, that they can't sit on a jury and reach a guilty verdict if somebody's guilty.
But is it? Let's back up just a little bit more, David. The job of a prosecutor is not to get a guilty verdict, is it?
No, it's not. The prosecutor is an officer of the court, and as such, it is the job of the prosecutor to engage in fact finding and truth seeking, and to reach a just verdict, whether that verdict is guilty or non-guilty.
And I think that a lot of people get caught up in the television or in the movies and have this feeling about prosecutors that it's about conviction at any cost. That's not your job. In fact, that's violating the oath that you take as an officer of the court.
That's certainly correct. You know, one problem we run into, Liz, is that I don't know how it is in Missouri, but in Texas, district attorneys are elected, and sometimes they want to seek higher office. You know, maybe they want to run for state district judge.
Well, let me make it clear about here in Missouri. The prosecutor that I told you about that said strike all black people. He didn't talk about Italians. He didn't talk about Jews. He didn't talk about long hairs. He didn't talk about overweight people. He said black people became the mayor of the county.
Oh, wait, wow.
So there you go. So there you go. So in Texas, they have this policy, this training session for young prosecutors that this is what you do. In fact, it was even in their handbook, wasn't it?
Yep, it was in a handbook that was actually written back in the 1960s, but was still being distributed to incoming assistant district attorneys as late as, well into the 1970s, early 1980s.
Mm. Well, I guess if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. So they had this handbook. And so get us to the case of Mr. Miller L.
Sure. Thomas Miller L. Was tried in the 1980s in Dallas County, Dallas, Texas. And prosecutors struck all but one prospective black juror. Now, you might say, how do we know? How did the U.S. Supreme Court know that people were struck on the basis of their skin color? It's because they went through thousands of pages of court hearings, and they looked at the questions that were asked, that were put to prospective white jurors, and the questions that were put to prospective black jurors, and they noticed that according to the person's skin, a different set of questions was asked.
And they were asked in a more aggressive manner, weren't they?
Absolutely.
Can you give us a sense of what some of those questions were, the difference between the questions that were asked of white folks and of black folks?
You know, Liz, I don't have the transcript in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that when the Supreme Court ruling came down exactly 1 week and 1 hour ago, it was one of the most fact-laden court rulings I had ever seen. It went extensively into the questions that were asked, and a majority of the court, six of the nine justices, all of the justices except for Justice Scalia, Justice Thomas, and Justice Rehnquist, were absolutely certain in their finding that jurors were struck on the basis of their skin color, their race. And they did go into some of the questioning that went on, and it was, if you'll pardon the pun, it was, just black and white. It was just blatantly obvious what was going on.
And David, also, this wasn't the first time that Mr. Miller L.'s case came to the Supreme Court. This is the second time.
Indeed. 2 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of Mr. Miller L. And what happened then...
And what was the question before then? What was he asking 2 years ago?
He was asking that the lower courts be ordered to address his claim of racial discrimination in jury selection. And so what happened was the Supreme Court agreed with them. So they ordered the Fifth Circuit Court to address his claim, to consider it. They didn't tell the Fifth Circuit Court how to rule, but they ordered him to give, they ordered the court to give him a fair hearing. So it goes back to the Fifth Circuit Court. The Fifth Circuit Court doesn't give him a fair hearing.
And what was the decision, and what was the breakdown on the first decision?
I believe, Liz, that it was the exact same.
I thought it was just one. I thought it was just Thomas. Was it just Thomas that wrote a dissenting opinion on it?
Actually, you're correct. It was a little bit convoluted. It was as I recall, a 6-2-1 decision.
Yes, that's what it was. And it was Thomas that wrote the dissenting opinion.
Exactly.
And then when it came back from the Fifth Court, then when it came back to the Supreme Court, the Fifth Circuit used all of Thomas's reasoning as their reasoning.
Exactly. They took Thomas's dissent and made it their majority opinion. And so this time, Liz, when it came back to the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court didn't do what they did last time. They didn't send it back to the Fifth Circuit and say, give this person a fair hearing. Instead, they vacated the sentence.
Because this is a big deal. You don't do that to the egos and the positions of the folks in the Supreme Court. You don't do that. You don't send it back like that.
The U.S. Supreme Court never appreciates it when a lower court tells it that it's wrong.
They don't like
do that.
You can't do that. You can't. You're going to lose on GP.
General principle.
That's right. You are definitely.
Stupidity.
That's right. So the Fifth Circuit sent it back. They said, you're wrong. They said, we're going with the guy that wrote the dissenting opinion, and our reasons are the same as his reasons. And the United States Supreme Court said,
no way.
And what did they do?
Well, they vacated the sentence.
And so what does that mean?
It means that Thomas Miller L. will not be executed unless Dallas County, Texas officials decide to go back and try him again. But if they try him again, this time it has to be fair, and they have to play by the rules.
And I one of the things that I want to talk to you about, David, but we have to take a break. One of the things that I want to talk to you about is this is a case that comes from the 80s. And if we had had a court system and a method of evaluation that didn't allow for the appeals process, we would have never had a Supreme Court that would have been able to rule that, this decision is unfair. You cannot cheat to win. You cannot kick all black people off the jury because they are black and have a trial. That's cheating, and you can't cheat to win. But if we had executed him, we would have never got to that discussion. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. I'm talking to David Elliott, Communications Director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the Supreme Court decision last week where the United States Supreme Court ruled in favor of Thomas Miller L., a Texas man who received the death sentence after a systematic exclusion of prospective jurors by the Dallas County prosecutors. I'll be back. I'm Liz Brown.
Change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ride Finders. Westbound 270 at McDonald Boulevard, that accident's been cleared. Both the entrance ramp lanes are now open this hour. Eastbound 70 there's an accident on the right lane, is blocked on the express lanes. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge, look for major road construction. Two left lanes are closed. Traffic is backed up just east of 94. Northbound 55 between Loughborough and Lafayette, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 has slow pockets between Gravoy and Big Bend. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lee May Ferry, everything is on the move. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant, look for a very slow volume there as well. Eastbound 40 between at Lindbergh, look for slow traffic. And eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic as well. Your bridges stack up like this. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 5570 at the 5570 merge, look for normal traffic. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 merge all the way into Leclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume. Union at Del Mar, there's restrictions due to an accident which is under investigation. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ride Finders. Pumped up about gas prices, pump money back into your pocket by carpooling to work using Ride Finders' free ride matching service. Call Ride Finders at 1-800-VIP-RIDE. That's 1-800-VIP-RIDE. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, high in the upper 80s this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high around 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the 70s. And then Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 67 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th at the walk to defeat ALS.
With the harmony, the matching process wasn't something that put any stress on me.
You get to see inside of the person before you see the person.
Imagine a process of finding the love of your life that doesn't require writing a witty paragraph about yourself for the world to see.
It wasn't about trying to be competitive with other people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Imagine a place where you're matched based on who you really are.
You're not basing it on, you know, am I at the right bar at the right time?
With eHarmony, it felt more like people were truly interested in who I was as a person.
If you're ready for a better way to find your true love, graduate to eHarmony.com. Get your eHarmony personality profile and see for yourself how eHarmony.com can help you find the love of your life.
That term soulmate actually came to mean something.
It was just like absolute magic, like no other experience I've ever had in my life.
The abuse started just after we started dating and got worse. I thought I should stay to keep our family together, but the situation at home was affecting my children and my job. My name is Keisha, and I am a survivor of domestic violence. I now take care of my children and go to work without the fear and stress due to abuse. I reached out for help when I needed it, and you can too. If you or someone you care about needs support at home or in the workplace, please call the Domestic Violence Confidential Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. That call changed my life.
If you are a victim of domestic violence, there is help available, and it's just a phone call away. The Domestic Violence Confidential toll-free hotline number again is 1-800-799-SAFE. This message brought to you by the State of Illinois and this station.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is the long distance toll free number. We are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, and daily, every single day, this show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour. You can do that right there at WhiteRoseSociety.org. I am talking this morning to David Elliott, Communications Director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. And we're talking about that remarkable story last week where the United States Supreme Court repudiated the Fifth Circuit. And David, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Liz.
And we're talking about the time lag in this case, the Thomas Miller L case. This was a case that occurred in 1980-something.
That's correct. I want to say 1984, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So that's significant for those that advocate that we need to have a fast resolution to these cases, death penalty cases.
Oh, absolutely. You know, some people say there are too many appeals, you know, that the process goes on too long. But the fact is, if we shorten the time of appeals, if we shorten the process, we're going to end up executing people who either are innocent or who did not receive a fair trial. And I don't even think that people who support the death penalty would ever want such a thing.
And we also have one of the issues that I don't believe is discussed enough coming out of the death penalty cases is the issue of how race is used, how race is used in the decision of who's going to be pursued for the death penalty, how race is used for determining whether or not a case is going to be qualify as a death penalty case, how race is used to get convictions.
Well, it's certainly true. And another thing that has to be discussed is that the race of the victim mm-hmm. in a murder case often determines whether or not a death sentence is sought. You know, I'll give you an example. In Maryland, which is just a couple of miles away from where I'm sitting right now, 80% of the murder victims in Maryland in an average year are African American. 20% are white. And yet, every single person who is sitting on Maryland's death row is there for killing a white person. There's nobody on Maryland's death row for killing a black person.
Well, our country has an ugly legacy of executing anybody that's killed a person of African descent.
Right. We send a message with our criminal justice system that somehow, some way, white victims are worth more than black victims.
Absolutely. That is the message, and that is the message of racism anyway.
Correct.
I mean, that is the true message of racism. And you can count on two hands, if that many, the number of white people. I don't think you can have two hands. You can count on one hand the number of white people in this country that have been executed for killing a person of African descent.
Right. And, you know, Liz, Texas leads the nation in executions, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've executed, I can't remember the exact number. I want to say around 330 people in what we call the so-called modern era since 1976. 330 people have been executed. How many people have been executed in Texas for killing a black person?
I would say zero.
Actually, it's one.
There you go.
One person.
And that was when?
That was actually about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. And we have to also underscore that I don't believe in the death penalty. I don't think that the government should ever be allowed to execute any of its citizens because we're human and we make mistakes and we haven't gotten beyond or even addressed the issue of racism, honestly, in this country. But we also have to remember that James Byrd came from Texas.
Exactly.
And he was the man of African descent that was drugged to death, lynched and drugged to death. And is there anybody on death row because of that?
There actually are two people on death row because of that. But get this, Liz. James Byrd's nephew has been traveling the state, traveling the country even, speaking out for clemency for his uncle's killers.
Clemency from the perspective of being no longer being pursued for the death penalty.
Exactly. Okay. He doesn't want them executed. He thinks that there has been enough killing.
Mm. So the two white people that are on death row in Texas for the murder of James Byrd, there's someone asking that they not be on death row.
Right. The nephew of the victim.
Mm. Mm. So the state of Texas, the state of Texas basically has said, you know what, we want to execute people and we want to be able to get black people off the jury on our way to execute people. The Supreme Court repudiated this Fifth Circuit. Where does Texas stand? Are they going to make any changes? Do they have to make any changes? What can come out of this decision from the United States Supreme Court where they repudiated the Fifth Circuit?
Well, it's a wake-up call for the lower courts. And so the lower courts have a choice. They can heed the Supreme Court and start giving these cases the judicial review that they deserve, or they can continue to flout the Supreme Court and continue to be embarrassed. And you know what, Liz? Judges don't like to be overruled. They don't like to be found wrong. They find it embarrassing.
I know. I've been there. I know.
So I think we're going to see more of the review that the Supreme Court has called for. I think we're going to see more justice.
You think?
I think so.
Because if it was a bold move to send it back to the Supreme Court and say, no, you know, we're not doing what you want us to do. We're going to go with the guy that says it the way we want to say it. You think it's going to have that impact on them?
I think that they're probably feeling very chagrined and chastised and embarrassed. And I don't think that they're going to – I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to continue doing what they've been told blatantly now is wrong.
Well, what do you think the prosecutor's office is going to do? You think they're going to change their way of doing things?
You know, I think eventually, especially if you look at what's happened with recent elections in Dallas County that have gone more Democratic,
mm-hmm.
I think that Dallas County has changed from the terrible place it was in the 1980s. There are still problems, absolutely, absolutely. But you've got a different voting population now. You've got a shift in political power that's occurred. You know, back in the 1980s, nobody would have ever guessed that Dallas would have an African-American mayor. And just a few years ago, they had one. In fact, he was the Democratic nominee for United States Senate, Ron Kirk. And so I think things have changed a little bit. We haven't solved the problems yet, but we're moving in the right direction.
And the state of Texas has just passed a law saying that that jurors can now consider life without, in addition to the death penalty. So I'm certain that's going to have an impact on the numbers of death penalty cases that we have, because according to the law before, you could be you either had the choice of the death penalty or the other decision that would have allowed you out after 40 years.
That is correct. We're going to see a decline in death sentences now coming out of the state of Texas.
David Elliott, Communications Director for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Well, thank you for having me, Liz.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me.
Dateline Jerusalem. The Israeli government announced over the weekend it's planning to seek bids for building 700 new homes on the West Bank. The housing minister says he's been told that holding on to the settlements of Me'el Adumim and Vitar Elit must be accomplished. Both of those locations are around annexed East Jerusalem. That's an area the Palestinians want to have for the capital of their proposed state. Israel is taking the position that all of Israel and the surrounding areas is and will be the capital of Israel. And Dateline Baghdad. The American army is engaged in a fierce battle in the city of Al-Qaim near the Syrian border. Reports from some refugees fleeing the town because of the severity of the fighting indicate that the bodies of four American soldiers were strung up on electric poles in the middle of town. They also report a number of other American soldiers' bodies being spotted along the streets in wrecked and destroyed vehicles. All communications have been cut off into and out of the town by American forces through the use of jamming devices. The American Air Force is reported to be blasting all areas of Al-Qaim with massive bombs and rockets. There's also a report that an Apache helicopter was shot down on Saturday just north of that city during the operation against the insurgents. In some other developments, seven Marines reported killed in Fallujah early Saturday when a booby-trapped market stall selling candy and sweets exploded. Another insurgent blew up the vehicle he was riding in at a U.S. checkpoint at the southern edge of Fallujah, Several American vehicles were reported to be destroyed, but there was no immediate word on casualties. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Hi, this is James Wakeman. I'm inviting you to get aboard the Glory Bound train every Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. right here over radio station WGNU, traveling down track AM 920. Join us. You'll be glad you did.
Are you looking to get your transmission fixed? Well, take it on over to Roy's Transmission, where you get great quality, great price, and great service. Some transmission shops will tell you you have to tear your transmission down to fix it. No, you don't. Take it on over to Roy's, and he will hook your transmission up, run a diagnostic on it, and tell you what's wrong with it and how much it will cost to fix it. Roy's Transmission, 5524 Riverview. That's 5524 Riverview. Or give him a call at 383-2019. 383-2019. Roy's Transmission.
April 1805. Bison as far as the eye can see. An abundance of bald eagle. Meriwether Lewis.
July 1805. We beheld a great number of antelope, deer, and elk. William Clark.
Imagine if Lewis and Clark's journals continued long past the end of their journey.
June 1905. Beaver trapped out. Buffalo herd down to a scant few.
How would they describe their trail today?
August 2005. The river is silent.
Would they be pleased?
On a more pleasant note, the new interstate certainly makes the commute more manageable.
Or would they feel differently?
Something must be done to save what's left of this great place.
As we commemorate the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, consider what's been lost and what we can do to preserve what's left. Walk with them and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoot! Get away!
Scream at them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. I listened to my bumper music and, you know, we don't need any more trouble. Well, tell this to a soldier, a United States military policeman, Spec, Sean Baker, 38 years old. And I just want you to feel me on this. I truly do. I want you to feel me on this. Because George W. Bush
is telling us that our future is our people are going to be safe from harm, and our future is bright. And I want you to feel this, feel these words, and then feel what I have to say.
I'll continue to act to keep our people safe from harm and our future bright.
One more time, Howard. I just want folks to feel this.
I'll continue to act to keep our people safe from harm and our future bright.
Not too long ago, January 2003, Spec Sean Baker, 38 years old, was assaulted. What does that have to do with George Bush keeping our people safe from harm and our future bright? Well, Sean was assaulted after he volunteered to wear an orange jumpsuit and to portray an uncooperative detainee. The MPs were told that he was an unruly detainee who had assaulted an American sergeant. And the American sergeant had inflicted and the American sergeant was now suffering from traumatic brain injury. Sean was a Persian War Gulf veteran. He reenlisted after September 11th. You see, what happened is that Sean started by being put on the jumpsuit, squeezed under the prison bunk after being told by a lieutenant that he would be portrayed an unruly detainee. He was assured that the MPs were conducting an extraction drill, and they knew that this was a training exercise, and that they knew that Baker was an American soldier. The MPs came in. He was beaten. He was choked. And he screamed the code word red, and he shouted, "I'm an American soldier, I'm an American soldier." Didn't stop them from beating him. They beat him until the jumpsuit was yanked down during the struggle, revealing his military uniform. Sean Baker, 38 years old, is now suing the Pentagon for $15 million. He has a medical disability. He has seizures. He has blackouts. He has headaches. He has insomnia. And he has psychological problems. After being... Oh, and did I tell you that this was at Guantanamo Bay? So let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, do you think this?
They're being interrogated in a way that is 100% consistent with the Geneva Conventions.
You think that prisoners are being interrogated in that way? If one of our own has been beaten so that he so badly that he has a traumatic brain injury, do you think that the MPs listen to what the detainees say at Guantanamo Bay when this sergeant hollered out the code word, when this sergeant said, "I'm an American soldier," when this sergeant spoke in perfect English, and they continued their beatdown? Do you think that the prisoners, the real prisoners, are being treated in a way that is 100% consistent with the Geneva Convention? If one of our own soldiers is suing the Pentagon
for $15 million because he participated in a training exercise and the MPs thought that he was the real thing and beat him so bad that he has a traumatic brain injury. How do you think the rest of them are being treated? How do you think? Pummeled by American soldiers at Guantanamo Bay. An American is reaching out and saying, you know what? No. You know what? No. I don't believe George Bush when he says,
I'll continue to act to keep our people safe from harm and our future bright.
Do you? I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. We do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say the progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out for
me. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
I'm Joan Bennett. The Iraq insurgency rages on despite U.S. efforts to cut off supply lines and wipe out training camps. Dozens of people, mostly Iraqi police and security guards, have been killed in a series of suicide bombings in the past 2 days. Major General William Webster with the 3rd Infantry.
Certainly saying anything about breaking the back or about to reach the end of the line or those kinds of things do not apply to the insurgency at this point.
Iraqi insurgents have claimed on a website that they've killed a foreign contractor working for a U.S. company, along with 6 of his Iraqi bodyguards. Afghan intelligence officials say they've derailed a plot to assassinate the U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan. 3 Pakistanis were reportedly arrested. Where's Osama bin Laden? The CIA chief says he thinks he knows.
CIA Director Porter Goss says he has an excellent idea where Osama bin Laden is. He doesn't actually name a location in an interview with Time. Goss told the magazine sanctuary laws in other countries make it difficult to capture bin Laden. If the U.S. is to bring bin Laden to justice, Goss said, we have to find a way to work in a conventional world in unconventional ways.
ABC's Aaron Katursky vanished. A search resumes at this hour in Utah's Uinta Mountains for an 11-year-old Boy Scout who disappeared from scout camp Friday.
We've had kids go missing up here over the years. This area has been noted for that. You know, over the last 50 years or so, there's several individuals who have never been recovered up in this area.
Summit County Sheriff Dave Edmonds, it's the same area where a 12-year-old camper disappeared last summer and wasn't found. Attorneys for Edgar Ray Killen could rest their case today. The reputed Klan member on trial for the 1964 deaths of 3 civil rights workers in Mississippi. The 80-year-old could get life in prison if convicted. This is ABC News.
With all the recent news on prescription pain relievers, you may be asking what's right for you. Talk to your doctor and ask about Advil. The fact is, neither Celebrex nor Vioxx has been proven to be more effective on tough pain than Advil. Advil has been trusted by millions for over 20 years. Ask your doctor if the strong, trusted pain relief of Advil is right for your kind of pain.
Use as directed for occasional pain only. Do not exceed 10 days. Talk to your doctor if pain persists. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
Hello?
Adam, I saw on the TV where the police arrested an Adam Klein for stealing identity.
Mom, it's not me. Someone tried using my credit, but I'm protected by Equifax Credit Watch.
You got a credit watch? What's wrong with your father's pocket watch?
Protect yourself from identity theft with Equifax Credit Watch. It monitors your credit and notifies you of key changes so you can act before serious damage is done.
I knew it wasn't you on the TV. That boy had a nice haircut.
Get Equifax Credit Watch at Equifax.com.
Tom Cruise making waves again after a stealth assault by a prankster.
Tom was smiling and schmoozing at the red carpet premiere in London of his flick, a remake of the classic War of the Worlds, when a fake British reporter with a fake mic got his attention. The result, the actor was squirted right in the face.
That's incredibly rude. I'm here giving you an interview and answering your questions, and you do something really nasty. You're a jerk.
It was all part of a stunt for a new British comedy TV show. They hope he'll see the funny side when it airs later this year. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
In their first public statement since Michael Jackson's acquittal, the family of Jackson's accuser, through a source, told ABC News the young man feels let down by the criminal justice system, but he's coping.
His family life is better now. They're no longer living in a one-room apartment on the east side of Los Angeles. Instead, they've moved to the west side, and his mother is married a major in the U.S. Army Reserve.
ABC's Jim Avila. I'm Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Chris Lane with this WGNU News Report. It is brought to you by HungryAgents.com. 5 people are dead and 15 people are hospitalized after a single vehicle accident near Columbia. The Missouri State Highway Patrol says a van traveling eastbound on Interstate 70, 2 miles west of Columbia, skidded into the median and overturned several times, ejecting 17 people. 4 people died on the scene and 1 died later at a hospital. The Highway Patrol says the van, which has California license plates, was carrying 20 people, ages 16 to 46, including 4 from Guatemala, 3 from Honduras, 1 from El Salvador, and 1 from Long Beach, California. Anyone with information is asked to call the Missouri State Highway Patrol at 573-751-1000. The St. Louis Blues are up for sale. Owners Bill and Nancy Laurie announced their intention on Friday to sell the team and its long-term lease on the Savas Center. The Lauries have owned the Blues since 1999, but have lost more than $60 million over the last 2 years. Boston-based firm GamePlan LLC will search for a new owner for the team with the goal of keeping the Blues in St. Louis. As the Missouri State Government Review Commission takes public testimony, a local advocacy group is raising questions about the commission's makeup. Missouri Citizen Education Fund field organizer Lisa Cohn says the commission is decidedly Republican.
$20,000 from the commission went to Governor Blunt's election campaign in 2004, while only, I believe, $600 was donated to either Democratic candidate for governor. So clearly we feel that this commission does not represent adequately all Missourians.
The Government Review Commission was appointed by Governor Matt Blunt to make recommendations on how to improve efficiency and save money in state government. The commission held a hearing Friday in St. Louis and has 5 more hearings across the state between now and the end of July. Area NAACP officials are pleased with the progress in the St. Louis Police Department investigation of 2 of its officers. The officers went to Ruby Harrell's North St. Louis home last week looking for her grandson, then allegedly maced and handcuffed her when she asked to see a search warrant. St. Louis City NAACP President Harold Crumpton says Police Chief Joe Mokwa has acknowledged that the officers failed to follow police department guidelines. The NAACP is still reviewing a report on the incident from the chief. Crumpton says the officers may face retraining and be moved out of Harriel's home district. Stop paying 5-7% real estate commission to sell your home. At HungryAgents.com, top realtors in your neighborhood compete for your listing, saving you thousands. They'll help you find the realtor that's right for you. That's the news for the 8 o'clock hour, and now here's Howard Morton with a look at traffic.
Well,
the morning, St. Louis, 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Eastbound 70 between 94 and Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction has two left lanes closed. Traffic is backed up approaching Highway 94. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Arsenal, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Merrimack River Bridge is running smoothly. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for a heavy volume this hour. Northbound 270 at 44 is slow. Westbound 255 from Telegraph all the way into Lee May Ferry, no problems to report there. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant, look for very heavy volume up in North County. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, you have slow traffic to contend with. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and Highway 79, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 at Hanley, very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. And your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is lighter than normal this hour. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge, everything looks normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. Highway 110 and Upper Platten, look for an accident there. And eastbound 30 at the Merrimack River Bridge, look for an accident involving a tractor trailer. Right lane is blocked and traffic jams near Highway 141. Also, Ballast at Missouri Baptist Hospital, look for those traffic signals to be on flash this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. This month only, McDonald's fries could equal a Cardinals prize. Free or discounted tickets, road trips, seats from Busch Stadium, and more. Over 3 million prizes and offers. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly sunny skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high around 90. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the 70s. And then on Wednesday, look for partly cloudy skies with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear skies, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 68 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, how can I discuss? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, how can I discuss?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I remember saying that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Don't forget that there is a grand opening today and a press conference for the grand opening of the Millions More Movement office right here in St. Louis. This is going to be at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 215. The Millions More Movement, October 14th through the 16th. This October 14th through the 16th in Washington, D.C. is the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the historic Million Man March. So you want to get out there. You want to participate. Who's going to be there? The local organizing committee, civic, political, business, educational folks, leaders will be present. Come on out and commemorate the grand opening of the Millions More Movement office at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 215. For more information, you can call 361-9191. My name is Liz Brown. We have much to talk about. Mac, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I bring up a little different subject there. I see where Mayor Slay is kind of cleaning up his office downtown.
A little ethnic cleansing going on?
Yeah, he got a good cleansing going on downtown.
Ethnic cleansing.
That was very nice of him. I give him a 10 for that. I think he got rid of about two or three of his water carriers downtown.
Ethnic cleansing.
I don't use you, so I don't need you anymore, so goodbye.
There you go. There you go.
I looked at that, and I really enjoyed reading about it. I first had hard feelings towards Mayor Slate, but it seemed like he's done a good job down there cleaning out. So anyway, Ms.
Well,
Brown,
actually, what I think that it should be viewed in the respective in the perspective of this is, you know, it matters not who the individuals are. It matters what has been said consistently about the actions of this administration. This administration has been all about the ethnic cleansing of the city of St. Louis, the ethnic cleansing of this of the employees in the St. Louis public schools. I mean, this regardless of the jobs that these individuals have, there's ethnic cleansing going on, and been saying it from the beginning, and that's why folks should have jumped on board of the Irene J. Smith mayoral race, because there was an opportunity to prevent the ethnic cleansing that has been going on in this administration.
I can't understand why they didn't see it coming.
That's the history of America.
I couldn't understand it.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. 454-0400 is my phone number. Shirley, good morning. Shirley.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good, good. I was just making an observation when you talked about the young man Baker that was beaten at Guantanamo Bay.
Shirley, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring people up to speed on that,
okay,
if you don't mind.
Okay.
There was a soldier that participated and volunteered. His name is Sean Baker, 38 years old, volunteered for a training drill at Guantanamo Bay, put on an orange jumpsuit, crawled under at the direction of his lieutenant, crawled under a bed, and he was supposed to be an unruly detainee. The MPs came in. They beat him so badly that he has a traumatic brain injury. He has seizures, blackouts, headaches. He screamed out loud to them, "I'm a soldier, I'm a soldier." He hollered the code word red, and the only reason they stopped beating him was that his jumpsuit was pulled down during the beating, revealing his military uniform. No one has been disciplined. No one has been punished for the assault. Go right ahead, Shirley.
Okay. I have two thoughts on that. One is, was he a person of color? Because the so-called enemy is supposed to be a person of color. And secondly, if that's the kind of training that they're doing, are they actually using the so-called enemy to do the training on?
I would bet you, I'd bet you $50 that Sean Baker wasn't blonde and blue-eyed. Uh-huh. I bet you a whole lot more than $50 that he wasn't blonde. He didn't look like Timothy McVeigh.
Right.
I would bet you. I'd bet you a whole lot more than that. If this, but no betting allowed. But I would bet you that. I would bet you that he looks closer to you and me than right. he does to Timothy McVeigh.
Right. And they have to be using the so-called enemy to do their training on. They're not using mannequins or each other.
Right. So I guess if I'm understanding you correctly, Shirley, you're saying that the only people for people to practice on are people that look like you or me.
Exactly.
And oh, you know what? And we can't rule out the possibility that maybe this was intentional. Maybe these MPs had it out for Sean Baker, and they just used this training exercise as an excuse to do that. Either way, there are a number of issues. Either way, we know that either there's this type of criminal thing going on, or that the folks that are incarcerated, jailed at Guantanamo Bay, they're going through all kinds of horrible life situations. If they would do this, if the MPs do this to one of their own, know that those that are detained in this gulag are getting a whole lot worse.
That's right.
Guantanamo gulag. Thank you, Shirley.
And they get to build another one.
Yeah.
Okay. Lisa, you have a good day, Liz.
You too. Take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello there, Liz. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
I had a beautiful Father's Day yesterday.
Very good.
All my grandchildren and grandchildren, great-grands.
Very good.
And children. My four daughters.
Excellent.
You know I lost one of my daughters.
Yes.
Yes. There was the boys that posted through the two girls over the bridge, the white girls over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That was no evidence against them. Two or three or four black boys that posted did that, they got them boys in prison for life. They didn't even question the cousin. And the cousin was the only one up there. The one was wet, and they let him go. They were convicted by an all-white jury.
There you go.
And Marilyn Banks was shot off of her porch by a policeman and they let that man go with an all-white jury because they had the case moved to Kansas City or had it moved out of town, first trial.
So you're referring back to the guest my last hour where we had a man's conviction returned back to the Fifth Circuit because he was convicted when all-white jury, because, and not by happen chance, but because of the intentional actions of the prosecuting attorney to exclude black people of African descent from
ma'am.
The jury.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Exactly, because they didn't have no evidence against those people. They just, the parents and the people of the white people, all they wanted was somebody black, and that's what happened.
Thanks for your call, Turtle.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, I'd like to ask you a question. I'm calling about the Downing Street memo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that kind of concerns me, because I watched the hearing, is I'm so kind of afraid of these Republicans. Or can we kind of make sure this isn't a setup or something? Because we've kind of been down this road before, and
which road
and
is
they
that?
Always seem to escape.
Which road is that?
Well, you think you have something going, and they don't escape, and they escape on you, and I'm just.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. The fact of the matter
don't
is,
scared,
don't
huh?
be scared. Because the fact of the matter is that the Downing Street memo demonstrates that George, or proves that George Bush lied. We died. It's time to impeach him. That's the bottom line. No matter what these folks are trying to tell you, that they're trying to tell you that up is down, that black is white, that wrong is right, they're trying to tell you all of those things, and that's what people like that continue to try to do. This Downing Street memo will be the undoing of George W. Bush and his administration, because you cannot go to Congress and lie. Have you signed the petition?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
All right. Half a million people have signed that petition.
Yeah, we were watching the hearing,
mm-hmm.
And his spokesman, I call him the dancer because he never answers any questions that the reporters ask him, seem to be so assured that, oh, this is old news, we've talked about this before.
Well, so does the husband that's caught cheating. So is the, you know, I mean, they're very, very, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? You know, so that their certainty of their, they have everything to protect. And that is, certainly should never be the reason why you move or not move on something based upon what a person who lies to you tells you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you,
I,
mean,
just,
you,
I just hope they just,
The fact of the matter is that we need to be telling everybody in the world to go read the Downing Street memo, to understand the reason, the significance of the Downing Street memo. And I'm going to do a four-hour show on the Downing Street memo so that everybody can understand
that this
is a step towards impeachment.
That's beautiful.
Let us be clear. This is a step towards impeachment.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I'm the other preacher,
yes,
and
sir.
I'm the person that...
Turn your radio down, please.
Okay. I may have to go and turn my... I may have to call you back.
Okay, I'll put you on hold, and we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay, thank
All
you.
Right. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On the Downing Street memos, I called Bond Talent. Aiken Holtzhoff last week told him this guy needs to be impeached. Are people getting on the phone and having a phone campaign on this?
Absolutely. There's all. I was so encouraged over the weekend as I prepared for this upcoming show that I'm going to be doing on the Downing Street memo, that there are so many people out there that are on fire because of this. They are absolutely on fire.
You have to get verbal.
Yes, you have to. Absolutely. But, well, just understand. Just real. Feel the significance of this, that 2 weeks ago there were 100,000 people that signed onto the memo. A week later there were over 500,000 people.
Good.
So that, I mean, that's huge. That is a huge thing when 500,000 Americans, I don't know of any petition that 500,000 Americans have signed onto in that short a period of time. That's huge.
I've got Bush's and Cheney's number here, and I'm thinking about today calling both of them and telling them they need to be impeached.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're back on the wake-up call.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
You're welcome.
I am thankful on this day that there is an aggressive, articulate, intelligent young black woman who's speaking for the black community. And number two, my question is, who were the people involved in the ethnic cleansing? I understand that Kenny Jones may have been one. And my third statement is that I had a very heavy feeling in my stomach, and I have to withhold my emotions when I go to stores in the black community. It seems like everyone behind the cash register don't look like me, and I would hope that my people would eventually understand that if we support our own black businesses, that we would be the second greatest economic power in this city. Keep the good work up, and I still don't go to smoke.
All right, now, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're in the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
I'm enjoying your show, and what I called you about was that I got, and I'm going to share this with you, I'm going to bring you this copy, that I think that Jeb Bush is helping his brother to sidetrack the U.S. citizens while his world is suffering from depleted uranium. And my article I'm going to bring to you is about this depleted uranium from the bombs that we dropped in the first Gulf War and this Gulf War, and how they are causing birth defects and people who are having leukemia and getting these cancers. And we are breathing it without knowing it because it's in the air, and it starts, it goes to your kidneys, and you will see one of these little articles that will show in the article. It will show how it goes through your nose and how it it affects different parts of the body. And so we got a lot of these other distractions going on from the Bush campaign to keep us from knowing this, because if this gets out to the American public like this Downing Street memo, there are going to be a whole lot of people saying, impeach him now, impeach him, put him in prison. They're not going to say impeach. They're going to say arrest him and imprison him and the Vice President, Dick Cheney. So I will send this to you.
Thanks for your
call. All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Roz.
Listen, I called to kind of change the subject just a little bit. Weren't you happy when all 10 counts came down on Michael Jackson not guilty?
I'm very happy for him. I really think that he just needs to move from the United States. I think
that's
that he
what
needs
I,
to
you
move,
know what? I
move
the
from
same thing,
Never Never Land.
He needs to
I
move
think,
from the United
yeah, he does.
States.
Yeah, he does. And he needs and go raise his children.
That's right.
And go raise his children.
Go raise his children.
Raise
and
his babies.
With no other.
No. I mean, the fact of the matter is that people have taken advantage of you, and people will continue to take advantage of them, of you, and particularly when you create a scenario to allow them to take advantage
That's
of you.
Right.
Go build a hospital. Go build a clinic for whoever you want to build a clinic for.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that you need to go take care. You need to be around to raise
your two children. That's right.
Okay? You can't be dying on anybody because you're not eating because you have two children who are dependent upon you.
That's right.
You can't be drug into court because of somebody else's children taking advantage of you. Go someplace else. Mm-hmm. Raise your two children. You have the money. You have the ability. Go raise your babies and be done with it. Don't be dying on folks because
of this
awful thing that's been done to you, because you have two children that are dependent upon you. And you best get to the business of constantly raising your babies.
That's right, Liz.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for
All
your
right.
call. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about this amazing story. You probably don't know about the school recruiting program handbook. The handbook that the recruiters rely upon. You're going to be surprised at some of the stuff that's up in this. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic. And whether this hour's traffic is sponsored by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Northbound 55 at Gravois, there's an accident on the right shoulder. There are no delays at this hour. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, everything's rolling steady. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is returned back to normal. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks all the way into Lindbergh, no problems to report. Westbound 270 between Riverview and New Florissant Road, look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, you still have heavy volume going on this hour. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 70 at the Edward Jones Dome, maintenance operations have the left lane closed. There's a short backup at this hour, and then let's take a look at your bridges. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, everything is running smoothly. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge, look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to Laclede's Landing, it looks good. And Route 30 at the Merrimack River Bridge, there is an accident reported. Right lane is blocked and traffic jams back to Highway 141. Ballast at Missouri Baptist Hospital, those traffic signals are on red flash. And southbound Route 141 at 40, look for an injury accident. The right lane is blocked. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Remember that accident on Highway 40? Don't end up with that car. Ask your dealer for a Carfax Vehicle History Report, now with a buyback guarantee, or visit Carfax.com. That's CARFAX.com for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Tuesday, Partly cloudy skies with a high around 90 Tuesday evening. Partly cloudy skies with a low around 70. And on Wednesday, partly cloudy, pretty much the same, high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 71 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
Hello, this is Mel St. Clair.
And this is Stella Dorit.
Inviting you to join us on Sunday mornings for the Sweet Sounds of Music
and Glorious Songs of Inspiration broadcast.
Every week we bring you the best in gospel music.
Plus the most up-to-date church calendar news in St. Louis that you can use.
We even have guests drop in and visit us from time to time.
Yes, you never know what's going to happen.
So make it a part of your Sunday morning listening. That's the Sweet Sounds of Music.
And the Glorious Songs of Inspiration.
With Mel
and Stella.
Sunday mornings from
9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
right here on WGNU.
When you take 15 girls hiking, you've got to stay alert, even with bad allergies. Hey, stay together! Now I'm Claritin Clear. Only Claritin has proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies. Claritin gives me 24-hour non-drowsy relief from my worst symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes. No cell phones in hiking. Stay focused. Live Claritin Clear.
Try Claritin Ready Tabs free. Go to Claritin.com or text message 24CLR. Only brand clinically tested. Use as directed.
With all the recent news on prescription pain relievers, you may be asking what's right for you. Talk to your doctor and ask about Advil. The fact is, neither Celebrex nor Vioxx has been proven to be more effective on tough pain than Advil. Advil has been trusted by millions for over 20 years. Ask your doctor if the strong, trusted pain relief of Advil is right for your kind of pain.
Use as directed for occasional pain only. Do not exceed 10 days. Talk to your doctor if pain persists. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ooh, I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine. It's my world.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It's my world. It's Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. My long distance number, 1-877-920-WGNU. The local number is 314-454-0400. The website for our live webcast broadcast is www.wgnu.net. And don't forget, we are archived daily at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. My goodness, you can catch every, if you miss a show, you miss an hour, you can get an hour right there. I want to share this story with you that you may or may not have heard of. I doubt that you know the organizational efforts that go into getting your babies into the military. Now, they're not getting the numbers that they want, but they're still getting you. And you just really need to feel the organizational efforts that go into snagging your babies up off of the, out of high school, and even out of college. Didn't know that, out of college. I mean, let me share this with you. There was an article, an editorial, actually, written by Bob Herbert, New York Times. And he's talking about this handbook. They call it the Recruiter's Bible of what they're supposed to do when they go to your high school. Bob Herbert writes in part that the handbook includes this statement. Football team practice, the football team usually starts practicing in August, the handbook says. Contact the coach and volunteer to assist in leading calisthenics or calling cadence during team runs. Homecoming happens in October. Coordinate with the homecoming committee to get involved with the parade. Recruiters are urged to deliver donuts and coffee to the faculty once a month, to eat lunch in the school cafeteria several times a month. The book encourages recruiters to cultivate the students that other students admire. And I quote from the handbook, "Some influential students, such as the student president or the captain on the football team, may not enlist. However, they can and will provide you with referrals of who will." Ain't that a blip? Ain't that a blip? Now, I want you to take a walk with me to this story coming out of the Washington Post. And it tells you about the differences that schools engage in to keep recruiters out of their schools. It's no surprise that wealthier white school districts do a better job of keeping these people from eating lunch on a daily basis with their babies. Did you know that? Did you know that these recruiters are in your kids' lunchrooms having lunch with the kids? There's not a college recruiter in America that is allowed to have that kind of access to your child. Heck, there's not a doctor in America that's allowed to have that kind of access to your child. But the people that are trying to get your baby to join the military to go away to Iraq to die have unlimited access without your knowledge to your baby. Check this out. In white schools, the principal of Fairport High School, a white school in North Carolina, said, "We are not going to give out information about our students unless we absolutely have to." They place strict limits on the activities of military recruiters after a verbal confrontation between a Marine sergeant and a student peace activist. Apparently, they got into a shouting match. And the kid came to the principal's office crying about what the recruiter said to them. And you know what the principal said? And I admire him. I absolutely admire him. The principal said, and I quote, "If there is a confrontation in my school between a student and the recruiter and the kid ends up crying, I'm going to side with the kid." You think that happens in your school? And that just shows that every school can do what this school is doing. Now, on the other side of town, when Fairport High School gives access to the recruiters, here are the conditions. You're barred from setting up a recruiting table in the school. You have to have an appointment to talk to the students. And interviews are only allowed in the guidance office. And the school will release the student contact details only with written parental approval. That's how it's supposed to be, isn't it? Other schools just say, okay, if the parents don't tell me not to, you got it. This school says, yeah, we'll give out the information with written parental approval. If every school in America did that, they wouldn't have to worry about it. If the parents say it's okay, then we say it's okay. And let me tell you how deep these people are in your baby school. Let me tell you how deep. You can get a copy of this school recruiting program handbook. I'm telling you, I love Google. You can get a copy of the school recruiting program handbook. Let me tell you some of the things that they are taught. The recruiters are taught. And this is their Bible. Their Bible says, you must first establish rapport and credibility. You have to convince the school district that you have their students' best interest in mind. To get babies in the military to go fight in Iraq and die? And they need to know your interest in the students goes beyond enlisting them and extends to a genuine concern for their future. What person, let me just say this, who is concerned about a child's future that you would give them the option? No, you would insist upon them joining something, being part of something that could get them killed. Those are two situations that cannot exist in the same place. And just to be clear, I'm going to go back to Bob Herbert's columnist, and he quotes Staff Sergeant Andre Allen, who's talking to the 150 infantry men, women in training, members of the F Company, 1st Battalion, 19th Infantry Regiment. You know what he said to him? You know what he said to them? Now, this is after they got you, right? This is after the handbook has been successful. Does anybody know what posthumous means? A few hands up, but he answered his own question. Here's what he said. It means after death. Some of you are going to get medals that way. When they get you in there, then they start telling you, you're getting ready, you're fixing to die. They tell you that in training. So help me with this part of the handbook that says, you must convince the school that you have their students' best interest in mind. They need to know that your interest in their student goes beyond enlisting them and extends to a genuine concern for their future. That means that some of y'all are going to get medals because you die. Oh, there's so much more in this handbook. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. Y'all need to hear the rest of this. It's crazy. It's just crazy. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Caracas. The president of Venezuela is blaming George Bush's pro-market policies for the political crisis in Bolivia that caused a change in governments last week. Hugo Chavez says such free market policies have caused poverty and inequality to increase, which created the street protests that led former President Carlos Mesa to resign. He was subsequently replaced by Supreme Court Judge Eduardo Rodriguez. For some time, Chavez has urged other countries in the region to break alliance with U.S. free trade policies and distance themselves from President Bush. He said Bolivians were on the brink of civil war thanks to Mr. Bush's policies, but hopefully they've now found a peaceful resolution to their crisis. And Dateline New York. A transcript has emerged that contains an interview with a man who was the former director of Iraq's Military Industrialization Corporation. General Hussein Kamil was in charge of the weapons program in Iraq during the 90s. The interview took place in August of 1995 and was conducted by the former chairman of the UN Security Commission, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency inspection team that went to Iraq, and a Russian diplomat who was the former deputy director for operations with the UN Security Commission. General Kamel defected to Jordan with his brother shortly before the interview was conducted. He said that he took crates of documents pertaining to past weapons programs from Iraq with him. According to further testimony, Kamal said all chemical, biological, missile, and nuclear weapons had been ordered destroyed by him and that nothing was left in Iraq. He said he gave that order so that the country could return to normal. He also gave orders that no further chemical weapons were to be produced. Newsweek magazine first reported on the interview in February of 2003 and said the knowledge of the destruction of the weapons was kept secret by UN inspectors in order to make Saddam Hussein disclose more details about the program. In the year 2002, President Bush spun the defection of General Kamil to mean that the weapons did exist, but he left out the part about them being destroyed. Kamil returned to Iraq after being assured by Saddam Hussein that he would be welcomed back since he was his son-in-law. He and his brother were both assassinated in February of 1996. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Here's some free advice on matters of the heart. Want to get on the good side of your special lady? Well, all you have to do is take her to the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair this weekend, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. She'll love strolling through a huge array of fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, sculptures, and a whole lot more. She'll also enjoy visiting with some of her favorite artisans and crafters. And who knows what she might come home with for you. If you're really smart, though, you'll go with her, keep an eye on what she likes, and then get it for her. You can even bring home an exotic pet from Custom Cage Works, the best brand in Texas. Now remember, the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair is this Friday, this Saturday, and this Sunday, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm talking about the Bible that is being used by recruiters that are going into your baby's schools to get your babies to join the military. It's called the School Recruiting Program Handbook. You can get a copy of it. It's real easy to find. And it gives all these little tidbits to the recruiters to get at your babies. Check this out. Each recruiter should receive a supply of desktop calendars for delivery to the schools and to key education staff. Contact the advertising and public affairs staff for specific dates of delivery, they're told. The football team usually starts practicing in August. Contact the coach and volunteer to assist leading calisthenics or calling cadence during the team runs. In November, basketball season begins. Distribute new schedules for the basketball season. Assemble and offer a color guard for the opening home game. Prior to Thanksgiving, many student organizations gather food baskets for the needy citizens. Offer your assistance and get involved. Call your school as a collection point and volunteer to distribute the food baskets. Attend as many holiday functions and or assemblies as possible. Wear your Class A or dress blue uniform when appropriate. Ain't that something? And here's January. Here's the thing that is so cynical. This is so, so cynical. January. Obtain a list of midterm graduates and contact them as soon as possible. They shouldn't have access to that information. Then the recruiters are turn up, then they're told in their handbook in January, turn up the tempo on contacting your juniors. Get a jump on the competition. So in January, they're getting at the juniors before the juniors commit to college. You hear what I'm saying? Turn up the tempo. Their handbook tells these recruiters, jump on the juniors. And here's the cynical one. Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday is in January. Wear your dress blues and participate in school events commemorating this holiday. You think they're trying to do that at white schools? Ain't that? This is in the handbook. This is in the handbook. Check this out. They're told, contact the high school athletic director and arrange for an exhibition basketball game between the faculty and Army recruiters. Oh, this is scary. This is an excellent way to build rapport in the high school. Ensure that the school does not conduct the game during any event where they charge admission. Then, and this is in February. Also in February, February is Black History Month. Participate in events as available. April, track and field meets begin. Offer to be a timekeeper or a coach's assistant. Do y'all know that your kids at their track meets could be being recruited by the military while they're at a doggone track meet in June? Send thank you notes to the staff and the faculty members who have been helpful to you during the school year. Oh, they're not trying to be nice. This is what else they do in June. Coordinate with school officials so that you can present certificates to those future soldiers who have enlisted during the school year. Coordinate with school officials. Check this out. Now, they ain't sending thank you notes to be nice. They're sending thank you notes to work you so that they can do this in June. Okay? It's June right now. Do you know where your recruiter is? It is June right now. Y'all are thinking that your babies are safe because it's June. According to the recruiter's handbook, in June, they are coordinating with school officials to determine if they can use your assistance during summer school. The faculty is normally shorthanded during the summer, and they probably would welcome your help. Jesus. This doesn't sound like recruiting. This sounds like stalking. This sounds like the dirty little old man in the trench coat hanging around looking for the kids, looking for the kids at community centers, at the park. That's what this sounds like. I guess they have a camouflage trench coat is what they have. They are stalking your babies. in their handbook, it says coordinate with us in June, the month of June. This is what they're supposed to be doing, coordinating with school officials to determine if they can use your assistance during summer school. They're trying to get all the way in the school during summer. That's a dirty old man's dream. Y'all over here fixated on what Michael Jackson, what you think Michael Jackson is doing with some babies. You need to be worried about what these recruiters are doing with your babies. It's crazy. This is absolutely crazy. And just because you think your baby made it out of high school, you think that your baby is safe? Not from a stalker who wants to get one. Not from a stalker that wants you. Not from a stalker in a green, in a camouflage trench coat. They're at the colleges too, and here's what their handbook says. Focus on the freshman class because they will have the highest dropout rate. They often lack both the direction and funds to fully pursue their education. That's what it says in their handbook. Oh, this is an educated stalker. This is a stalker with a handbook. You need to leave Michael Jackson alone and worry about the people that are trying to get your baby to Iraq to get them killed dead. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I got all this information from a little thing called the School Recruiting Program Handbook, the Recruiter's Bible. That's B-I-B-L-E. Whew. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the news. We're going to be talking about how crazy it is in Iraq when we get back. This is Mondays at 9. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss Mondays at 9 because we need to get up out of there. And Carl Canetta is going to tell us why we need to get up out of there. Stay with me, folks. I'll be back after the news.
If you pick a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound below knee.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. An open invitation from the parents of a Boy Scout who's been missing in the wilds of northern Utah since Friday. Please join the search, they said. Summit County Sheriff Dave Edmonds.
I still believe that this is a missing person case, and we're treating it as such. And we're hoping to make a find.
ABC's Alex Stone.
11-year-old Brennan Hawkins went missing only a few miles from the spot where a 12-year-old disappeared last year and was never found. Hawkins was last seen with a friend near a climbing wall at a Summit County, Utah campground. Searchers are on foot, horseback, and in helicopters looking for Hawkins.
Still missing after 3 weeks, Natalie Holloway, the 18-year-old from Alabama, last seen partying on the final night of her trip to Aruba. Her family has hired a lawyer on Aruba to navigate the Dutch court system. Natalie's aunt, Linda Allison, says family members are out every day searching.
It would just be a waste of time just to sit at the hotel to wait for a phone call for a break. We're just trying to find that needle in the haystack.
Dozens of Iraqis have been killed in 2 days of suicide bombings targeting police. The latest attack this morning during roll call at a police headquarters in Erbil killed at least 15.
All these attacks come as 2,000 Marines and Iraqi troops are sweeping through the area west of Baghdad. They have found bomb factories and insurgents, and along the Syrian border, a torture chamber with four Iraqis still chained to the wall. They said they had no idea why they had been beaten and held for 2 weeks.
ABC's David Curley in Baghdad. Afghan officials say their intelligence agents have foiled a plot to assassinate the U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, who was about to become the ambassador to Iraq. Agents reportedly arrested three heavily armed Pakistanis near where the ambassador was due to appear yesterday. Stocks opened lower as crude oil prices touched the $60 a barrel mark, then backed off. The Dow is off 46 points. This is ABC News.
Agatha.
It's Agatha.
Okay. Thanks for coming in. Have a seat.
Whatever.
So, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and what you'd like to do here at GM?
Okay. First of all, I don't think outside the box. I like it in there. A lot. I won't even go near the edges. And I don't do smiling or service or teamwork. I worked on a team once, and I bit someone. It left a mark.
Right. I'm sorry. Do you even want to work here?
No, but I need a new car. Something black. And I want the GM employee discount.
Well, okay. Why don't we just give you the discount then, and we'll call it a day.
Now, for the first time in history, anyone can get the GM employee discount. It's a great price. You pay what we pay. Not a cent more. On 2005 cars and trucks from Chevy, Pontiac, Buick, Cadillac, GMC, Saturn, Hummer, and Saab. Excluding Corvette. At participating dealers only. The GM employee discount. For everyone. Event ends July 5th. Take delivery by 7505. See dealer for details.
A very real nightmare for a Pine Bluff, Arkansas man who woke up with a car on top of him in his bed.
The bed was pinned under the car, but luckily nobody's been seriously injured.
Police Lieutenant Robert Rawlinson, the driver who'd fallen asleep at the wheel, ran off the road, plowed through the house, and landed on top of the homeowner who's recovering at the hospital. It may not be cost-effective to spend an arm and a leg on perfume. Just listen to Andy Fields.
You make me feel so young.
Or maybe smell so young. Actually, men will think women are 6 years younger if they just dab a little grapefruit behind their ears. That's what the Chicago Smell and Taste Institute discovered, trying to find out what made women smell younger. They smeared middle-aged volunteers with everything from bananas to broccoli. But only grapefruit made men think those women were younger than they were. Now you can smell good and get your vitamin C. Andy Field, ABC News.
I'm Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Granite Works, Granite Countertops. In the news in your 9 o'clock hour, a 26-year-old Marine from Hermann is among the latest casualties in Iraq. Lance Corporal Eric Helt was killed Thursday when a roadside bomb exploded near his armored vehicle along Ar Ramadi, Iraq. Also killed in the blast was 36-year-old Captain John Maloney of Chicopee, Massachusetts. Five people are dead and another 15 are hospitalized following a single vehicle accident on Interstate 70 near Columbia. Authorities say a van carrying 20 people was traveling eastbound on Highway 70 when the vehicle hit a median and overturned. Several people were ejected from the van. Four people were pronounced dead at the scene. A fifth died later in the hospital. The names of the victims have yet to be released, but officials from the Highway Patrol say the occupants were between the ages of 16 and 46 and were from California, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. A 38-year-old Livingston man is dead following a motorcycle accident early yesterday morning. Authorities say 38-year-old James Clark Jr. was killed when his motorcycle he was riding collided with a deer. The accident happened around 1 a.m. on Sunday morning on Interstate 55 in Madison County. And finally this hour, St. Louis police are continuing to look for a suspect in an early morning overnight shooting. Authorities say one person was injured after being shot around 1 a.m. this morning in the area of Lindell and Boyle. The victim's injuries are not yet said to be life-threatening. This hour's news has been sponsored by the grand opening of Granite Works. You can't afford granite countertops. Call 862-6300. Granite Works in the Loop. Granite countertops installed for $38 a square foot. Call 862-6300 for more details. Seven minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Westbound 70 at Memorial, all roadways are reopened after an earlier stall in both directions. 270 at Doherty Ferry and Manchester is closed due to an accident involving a tractor-trailer fire. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction has two left lanes closed. That traffic is backed up through Highway 94 at this hour. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Lindbergh. Everything is flowing freely. Northbound 270 at 44. Everything is on the move. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way to 55. Expect normal traffic in your 9 o'clock commute. Westbound 270 from the Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into Washington Elizabeth. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley. You've got heavy traffic. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley. Look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 55 between Rivas Barracks and the Brewery. Everything is on the move. Westbound 70 at Edwards Jones Dome. Look for maintenance operations having the left lane closed at this hour. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed for maintenance this hour. Westbound 70 between Zumbel and Cave Springs, there's an accident that is off the roadway, and a couple of other notes to be wary of. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge exit is closed. The northbound Route 3 ramp to westbound 5570 is closed until late June for deck repairs. The detour is to take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street, then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays this hour. And your bridges stack up like this. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is flowing freely. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing, no problems to report there. Ballast at Missouri Baptist Hospital, those signals are on flash, so use caution. Southbound 141 at 40, look for an injury accident. The right lane is blocked, and traffic backs up coming off of 40. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800, the number 2-DONATE, or you can visit 1-800-2-DONATE.org for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For the remainder of today, mostly sunny skies this morning with a high in the upper 80s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Moving on to Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 90. For Tuesday evening, look forward to mostly partly cloudy skies with a high around 90. For Tuesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. It's Mondays at 9 coming up with Liz. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
If you discover your child has a wart, don't panic. Besides their unpleasant appearance, common warts are harmless and non-cancerous. The most common warts among children are rough and grayish-brown in color. They tend to pop up on the hands, but they can appear anywhere on the body. They're caused by the human papillomavirus, or HPV. There are more than 100 variations of the virus. They each get into the body in the same way, through broken skin. Since kids get cuts and scrapes more often than adults, it makes sense that they would have more warts. Once in the body, HPV will cause the skin in that area to grow at a much faster than normal pace, and that's how a wart develops. Common warts will usually go away on their own if you have the patience to wait them out. If not, there are over-the-counter medicines that will help speed the removal process, or they can be frozen off by a doctor. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. We're doing Mondays at 9. Every day we read headlines of more and more people dying in Iraq. Suicide bombing kills 23 in Iraq. Suicide bomber kills 23 in Iraq. It just seems to get worse and worse to hear George W. Bush tell the tale about how things are going in Iraq. You would think that things are going well, and to hear George W. Bush tell the tale. We will keep fighting them, and that we will keep fighting them until all is well. Listen to him.
Our troops are fighting these terrorists in Iraq, so you will not have to face them here at home.
This mission isn't easy, and it will not be accomplished overnight. We will settle for nothing less than victory.
Is that a fact? Or are we simply trapped in Iraq? To discuss this with us, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Carl Canetta, co-director of Project on Defense Alternatives. Carl, good morning.
Good morning.
Are we trapped in Iraq, or is victory the only outcome?
Well, I wouldn't say that we're trapped in the sense that we could leave. With a proper policy, it would be possible to get out. The present administration doesn't have that policy, doesn't have that strategy, so they have got us stuck in Iraq. But I'd put the blame squarely on them. It's not an objective situation. There are ways out. We could be thinking more clearly about the situation there.
And in terms of, okay, we're not trapped in that we can't get out, but we certainly are in a vicious circle based on this policy.
Well, yes, we are. And the vicious circle comes down to this. Is our principal instrument in Iraq is a military instrument. And using that instrument, what we're doing is generating increased opposition on the ground to not only our presence, but the current government. So, in a sense, trying to extinguish the insurgency, our actions are driving the insurgency. That's the vicious circle. What's needed instead is a political offensive, something that draws the Sunni portion of the population into the political process, and something that also seeks some sort of accommodation with Iraq's neighbors, Syria and Iran. We need more cooperation from them. So far, our approach has been a very confrontational one, essentially trying to coerce them, scare them into cooperation. That hasn't worked very well.
And not only that, Carl, it appears that this administration has gone into this occupation completely brain dead on who the participants are.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that they focus on a portion of the insurgency that are old Saddam associates and that are foreign terrorists. These folks constitute a minority of the insurgency. They are the diehards, and the new government of Iraq will be dealing with those folks for some time. But our approach should be to try to separate them off from the broader opposition to the occupation. And instead of separating them off, we're driving a fair portion of the Iraqi public into the arms of these insurgents.
But is it really fair to refer to people as insurgents that are actually just opposed to the opposition? I mean, isn't it fair to say that bombing people and killing innocent civilians is something that anybody who lives in that country would oppose?
Well, many would, yes, and I don't see insurgent as a pejorative term. I just see it as people who are up in arms for one reason or another against the present order. So I don't see that as a negative attribute. I think a portion of the insurgent movement are rightfully described as terrorists, but I don't think that constitutes the majority of people who are strongly opposed to the U.S. presence there.
So who are the people? Can we break this down for the listening audience?
Well, you know, it helps to think of the country in terms of its three major ethnic or religious groups, and those are the Kurds, who are principally Sunni in their religious orientation. Then there are the Sunni Arabs, and then there are the Shiite Arabs. What we find is that the Kurds are largely supportive of the U.S. presence. Of course, they don't face the presence in quite the same way as the rest of the country does. The Kurds have been running their area of the country for about 8 years under U.S. protection. So they have gotten what they want.
They're just fine. They're cool.
They're cool.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, you have the Sunnis. And the Sunnis, of course, you have they were more represented than any other group in the Ba'ath Party. And of course, the Ba'ath Party was a party that ran the country under Saddam Hussein. They're least satisfied, and in part because many of them, though nominally associated with Hussein, were not active members. Others were, but everybody has been thrown into a category of being excluded for one reason or another from the political order. Many feared for their lives, and so they didn't vote. Others opposed the elections because they were run by a foreign, an occupying power. So they did not, they're not well represented in the present government. And then finally you have the Shiites, and the Shiites are the largest group, probably a majority of the country, and they divide. At the upper levels, the expatriates depend on the U.S. For their ability to govern. At the grassroots, however, when you look at public opinion polls, Shiite opinion tends to be pretty close to Sunni opinion. They oppose the occupation, and a majority do. In fact, a significant majority. They do not support attacks on U.S. troops to the same extent that Sunnis do.
Well, when we break down this opposition that is expressed by the Sunnis, when we break down this opposition that's expressed by the Shiites,
yes.
what do we find when we break it down?
Well, when we break it down, what we find is that majorities in both communities oppose the occupation, and they want to see it end sooner rather than later. Differences fall out. Around how much do people actually support attacks, and how well represented are they in the current government? Shiites are well represented, Sunnis are not. At a very local level, what you find is that a lot of the opposition is tribally based, and it's based also in around local mosques. These are not sort of the free-floating foreign terrorists that the administration mostly focuses on. These are local people whose grievances tend to be along the lines of having tribal members or family members killed or roughed up by the by the occupation, and so they have a more immediate gripe. And those folks are very susceptible to being drawn into these other groups, to being influenced by the former regime members or the foreign terrorists who maybe constitute 5% of the insurgents on the ground. So what you have is a sort of loose coalition. Some people with legitimate gripes and they're locally based, others who are former regime members, others who are foreign fighters who have an extremist agenda for the country. Our approach should be to try to divide these folks off, and the way to do it is through reaching out politically to those folks who are locally based.
But it's isn't it, though, Carl, that if you live in this country, as most of the people that we're talking about do, they can't be drawn off or divided off from anybody until the immediate harm stops happening to their country, because isn't at the root of their feelings. They have nationalism, as all people who live in countries
sure.
do, and they also want, they have real reasons. Everybody knows somebody that's suffered as a result of this occupation.
Yes, and that's remarkable, that last point you make, is that when I've spoken to Iraqis, the conversation quickly goes to a friend or a family member or someone in their neighborhoods who have been killed or in some ways affected either by the insurgents or by the occupation. The stories are pretty compelling of people having their cars run over while they're on the roads by tanks and such. So everybody is affected. There is a nationalist impulse. I think the beginning of a de-escalation would be the announcement of a timetable of withdrawal, of getting foreign troops out of there. That's one of the first things that we need to do to communicate clearly that our intention is not to keep this country or to run this country, that we are leaving.
But that therein lies the rub, isn't it, Carl? Because the fact of the matter is that this administration has said we are going to stay there as long as it takes to stay there. This administration is building 4 permanent military bases there. This administration is in opposition to anybody that is even though Congress is now starting to raise some of these issues of we need a timetable of when we're getting out of there. These people have access to the same internet that we do. They have access to the same television that we have. They know what this administration is saying, so they're going to keep doing what they're doing.
Well, you're not going to fool anybody.
Yeah.
It has to be a genuine effort. I mean, we do have increasing numbers of people in Congress, including Republicans, beginning to say, look, we've got to have a clear pathway out of this country. Our military is also suffering on a daily basis, that our recruitment numbers are down. So there is pressure on the administration to come up with an exit plan. What the president is going to say is that we're there forever. We're just going to fight until his definition of victory is achieved. That doesn't mean that they can't be moved. Personally, I don't care what the administration calls it, as long as what happens is a clear path out. I think that we could do it with an appropriate policy. We could do it and not let the country slide into civil war within the next year. And we've got to keep that pressure up, focusing on the need to announce a program and to reach out politically both to the Sunni community and to the neighboring countries. Any type of change is going to be difficult for the current government there, which is a Kurdish and Shiite government. There's a lot of support there to continue pressure on the Sunnis. Even at the same time that they say we want to unite with them, there's a range of steps that they will not take. They need to be urged by their friends, which in this case, for the Shiites, is Iran. Get Iran on board. They need to be urged to do what's necessary to stabilize that situation.
I mean,
it means that our policy towards Iran and Syria has got to be less confrontational. The administration has a grand plan, I would say a Napoleonic plan for transformation in that region, and they are fighting on every front at once. And consequently, you have, in essence, a coalition of countries and groups who are opposing us at every turn. We've got to do one thing at a time. And I think that a key to moving the situation forward in Iraq is to lower the temperature of the confrontation with Syria and Iran, get them more on board.
And lowering the temperature diplomatically has not been something that this administration has been capable of, particularly when we consider the fact that this administration is looking towards appointing John Bolton during a recess appointment. Lowering the temperature doesn't seem like to be something that they're capable of doing. But we have to take a break right now, Carl.
Yep.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'd like to continue our conversation. Carl Canetta, co-director of Project on Defense Alternatives, joining us from Washington, D.C. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. We'll get to some of your calls. We'll get back to our guests when we come back. Please stay with us.
Computer into overdrive, sports overdrive that is, at WGNU.net.
Hello, I'm Lucille Mitchell from the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast. Every Sunday morning at 9, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the St. Louis area present a unique ministry that couples teaching and the Word of God to insights that will help you with everyday living. We deal with the areas concerning health, family, prophecy, and the gospel. And I think you will find every program is full of information you can use in your own life. Please listen to the Bible Answer Crusade broadcast every Sunday morning at 9 right here on Radio 920 WGNU.
With eHarmony, the matching process wasn't something that put any stress on me.
You get to see inside of the person before you see the person.
Imagine a process of finding the love of your life that doesn't require writing a witty paragraph about yourself for the world to see.
It wasn't about trying to be competitive with other people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com.
Imagine a place where you're matched based on who you really are.
You're not basing it on, you know, am I at the right bar at the right time?
With eHarmony, it felt more like people were truly interested in who I was as a person.
If you're ready for a better way to find your true love, graduate to eHarmony.com. Get your eHarmony personality profile and see for yourself how eHarmony.com can help you find the love of your life.
That term soulmate actually came to mean something.
It was just like absolute magic, like no other experience I've ever had in my life.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its event and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and we are doing a little bit of Mondays at 9 here with Carl Canetta, co-director of the Project on Defense Alternatives, and we're talking about the United States being locked in a vicious circle in Iraq. Carl, welcome back.
Hi.
Let's talk about some of these polls that were taken to find out, to tap into the pulse of what's going on in the minds and in the hearts of the Iraqi people. When Iraqi people evaluate their feelings about coalition forces, about the occupation, what are some of the things that your polls and surveys have shown?
Well, let me say that the polls and the surveys are not ours. We did not conduct them. We mm-hmm. surveyed these. Mm-hmm. Polls, which are conducted by a lot of the institutions that people are already familiar with, such as Gallup, and some of the polls were conducted by the Coalition Provisional Authority, which used to be the outfit running the country under Central Command. So these polls have been around for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
And what they generally show. Is that Iraqis in large numbers that do not consider the troops there to be liberators. A near majority did right after the conclusion of the regular war back in 2003. But since then, large majorities have switched their opinion to seeing people as neither liberators nor peacekeepers, but rather as occupiers. And as I said before, you have large numbers, majorities in the Shiite and the Sunni areas wanting troops to leave, and quite soon we may have by certainly by this time next year, very large authorities saying, get out. At present, some people look to the constitution of a final government. The current government is considered transitional because there's not yet a constitution, but there are supposed to be elections at the end of this year or early next year in which a fully independent government, so-called, will be in place. And a lot of people look forward to that and say, well, by then, certainly we want to see foreign troops out. One thing that is the basis of opposition strongly correlates with people's opposition sentiments and with opinions that support attacks on U.S. troops are people's experience of violence. In those areas where people say that their families have suffered the effects of violence, in those areas you have the opposition sentiment is the strongest.
And we're talking about how many Iraqis have died due to military actions?
Well, our estimate right now, due to military action, that is by either the U.S. or the insurgents, or more broadly speaking, the coalition, or terrorist acts, our estimate is that it is probably in the range of 30,000 direct people who have been directly killed.
And out of that 30,000, how many of those deaths were attributed to people being killed by coalition troops or by the occupying troops?
Right, that's getting harder and harder to estimate, but I would say the majority are due to coalition action, but most of that was during the opening months of the war, and most of those that we killed were uniformed military or insurgents. If you just look at non-combatants, you get a different picture. And at present, I would say, given the what's happened in the past 6 months, that probably a majority of the non-combatants were killed by insurgent or terrorist action. But in either case, you have large numbers of.
But where is public opinion on this? Where does public opinion
generally blames the United States for all of it in Iraq? Either they say, look, my sister-in-law was run over by a U.S. tank, as one Iraqi friend, the story of one Iraqi friend told me. Or they say that, yes, we were killed in a terrorist bombing, but that wouldn't be happening if you weren't here. So Iraqi opinion tends to come around and blame the United States or the coalition for all of the killing, regardless of what its source is. And that is a sort of a nationalist impulse. And there's also some logic to it, of course, that the terrorist activity wouldn't be there.
It's certainly different than when America said, let's go over there and after 9/11, and some Americans were saying, let's go over there and make a parking lot out of the Middle East. That's a different cry than an Iraqi person saying, you know, I'm blaming you because if you weren't here, this wouldn't happen.
It is different, you know, and what you also see is that generally, more Iraqis will say that conditions are better today than they were prior to the war. It's not a majority, but the balance is something like 43% will say, yeah, well, things are, all things considered, they're better today, and 37% will say, no, they're not better. But as soon as change the question a little bit and ask Iraqis, well, was the war worth it? Did it do more harm than good? Those numbers switch. So as soon as you bring the effects of the war into the picture, more Iraqis will say the war as a whole has done more harm than good.
Now, how does that? Okay, if more Iraqis and the Iraqi numbers are growing in terms of more Iraqis believing that the war wasn't worth it, how does that play into the feelings of the occupation?
Well, sure. sure that it really is the foundation of people's opposition to the occupation. It's not just an abstract matter for people. It's not just a question of look, foreigners are all over our country. They're all over our government. There's 40,000 Americans or people contracted by Americans in all of the institutions. There are 160,000 troops all over our country. It's not just an abstract matter. What people experience on a day-to-day basis are house raids,
and that's what I wanted to get to. That's what I wanted to get to too, because we're not just talking about people who have lost loved ones or friends. We're not just talking about hundreds of thousands of people that have been injured, children that have been injured. We're talking about quality of life issues too.
That's right. That's right.
And talk to us about military patrols, checkpoints, raids, all of that the citizens of Iraq have to go through.
Well, if we just consider that more than 80,000 Iraqis have been processed through the prison system there, not all of them going to prison, as we know. The present levels are about 11,000 or 12,000. Estimates by some people who are running these prisons are that between 70 and 90% of the people there are probably innocent. They're caught in sweeps, and they're processed over a period of months, with families having a great deal of difficulty getting information about where they're held and when they'll be released. When those people are released, if they weren't our enemies to start with, they certainly are now. And those are fairly large numbers, and they keep on going up. The numbers of raids, I don't have current figures. But at the end of last year, certainly 8,000 had been conducted.
That's when they go into people's homes, tear up their stuff, looking for people.
Right, and now sometimes people get compensation afterwards. They get money, but if you can imagine, your door gets kicked. Well, occasionally something like this on a less severe basis happens in the United States, right?
It happens in the United States.
False drug raids.
That's
where.
Right.
Suddenly, police are swarming all over your house, yelling at you, yelling at your children, pushing people down to the floor. Of course, in Iraq, let's add the element that people are not speaking the language, interpreters are not available for every one of these raids. There may be gunfire. If somebody in the vicinity fires a gun, there may then be a fuselage of fire in response. So. These families, you immediately have Iraqi families tend to, households tend to average around 10 people per household because they have extended families. So you've immediately created 10 enemies, but everybody in the neighborhood, of course, is seeing this and it's affecting them. We are not particularly sensitive. Soldiers are getting better in many instances at understanding cultural differences, but pushing people down to the ground, putting boots on their necks and things of this nature.
And we have to take a break right now. I'm talking to Carl Canetta, co-director of Project on Defense Alternatives. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about the United States being locked in a vicious circle in Iraq. We'll be back. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com or check us out as we are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. We're archived there every day. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. I'll be back.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
Former St. Louis Cardinal and colon cancer survivor Eric Davis will share his story with people affected by cancer. The free educational workshop, entitled Frankly Speaking About New Discoveries in Cancer, will be on Saturday, June 25th at 9 a.m. at the Lodge de Pere, 1050 de Pere Road. To reserve your spot, call 314-238-2000 or visit www.strikeoutcancer.com. News to you, WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Beijing. China says there is no truth to reports that it's building an aircraft carrier. A minister in the Defense Department said in an interview that there is no such thing as an aircraft carrier in China's defenses right now, but China does have the capability of producing one sometime in the future because of its vast borders on the oceans. Defense analysts say that carriers are very expensive to build and operate and are most effective when fighting a long way from home. The fleet of carriers in the U.S. Navy are more powerful than those of all other countries in the world put together. But the Chinese Navy is becoming more important to its military planning, especially for protecting shipping lanes for important imports such as oil. The Chinese Navy has increased the number of subs it has and says it now has enough firepower to sink any aircraft carrier. And Dateline Tel Aviv. Israeli Foreign Minister Sylvan Shalom has offered an official apology to the United States for selling unmanned drone aircraft to China. Shalom said during a meeting with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice over the weekend that if things were done that were not acceptable to the U.S., then Israel is truly sorry, but the sale was done with the utmost innocence. The flap has strained security ties between the two countries and caused the Bush administration to suspend Israel from becoming involved in a new joint strike fighter project. It is likely that with the apology, Israel will allow the U.S. to supervise any future arms sales to any country that America thinks could be problematic. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on four continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. Jesus loves the little children of the
world. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call
The Party Line with Steve Franklin, Monday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon.
Come talk to me.
With information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Peace.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Mondays at 9, this is Liz Brown. We are talking about U.S. locked in a vicious circle in Iraq. Our guest this morning is Carl Canetta, co-director of Project on Defense Alternatives, joining us from Washington, D.C. Carl, welcome back. Let me get to some of our calls, please.
Sure.
You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
During the 60s and 70s, we were told that if we leave Vietnam, there was going to be a bloodbath. A lot of Americans didn't realize the bloodbath happened while we were there. The insurgents are in Iraq because we're there. When we leave, the insurgency will stop and those people can get their country together.
Thanks for your call and question. And the caller raises a good point and a question that I wanted to ask you, Carl. That is the argument that is made about us leaving Iraq, that it will descend into civil war. How would civil war be different than what is happening right now?
Well, I think if we left immediately, without trying to bring the Sunnis into the process, there would be an intensification of the problem there. The current situation is, in many communities, is a bloodbath, and I don't think that it would be correct to ignore that fact that we need to leave. That being there is a large part of the problem. We could, if we wanted to, withdraw within a few months. Technically, that's how long it would take. But beginning a real political process could occur in that same period of time. It wouldn't take very long to reach out to the Sunni community and begin to draw people in. One move that we might take right away, besides announcing a withdrawal schedule, would be to stop offensive activity and to begin to remobilize some of the some members of the former military and to try to have in the Sunni areas Sunnis be responsible for local security if they believe that they are being drawn honestly into government, into local representation. That could dramatically alter the situation there. But there are people on the ground in the Sunni areas and elsewhere who will continue their opposition to the government because they are looking for a more radical fundamentalist government. Not everyone is simply motivated by opposition to the United States. A lot of tensions have been generated between the different communities because of the war.
And I just want to go back to one of the things that you had mentioned about the issues that really, really have contributed to the people of Iraq wanting the occupation out, the raids. And if I could just read quickly from a report, a February 2004 report by the International Committee of the Red Cross describing these raids. Arresting officers entered homes usually after dark, breaking down doors, waking up residents roughly, yelling orders, forcing family members into one room under military guard while searching the rest of the house, further breaking doors, cabinets, and other property. They arrested suspects, tying their hands in the back with flexicuffs, hooding them and taking them away. Sometime they arrested all adult males in the house, including the elderly, handicapped, or sick people. Treatment often included pushing people around, insulting, taking aim with rifles, punching, kicking, striking with rifles. Individuals were often led away in whatever they happened to be wearing at the time of the arrest, sometimes pajamas, sometimes underwear. In many cases, personal belongings were seized during the arrest with no receipt given. In almost all incidences documented by the International Red Cross, arresting officers provided no information about who they were, where their base was located, nor did they explain the cause of arrest. Similarly, they rarely informed the arrestee or his family where he was being taken, for how long, resulting in a de facto disappearance of the arrestee for weeks, even months, until contact is finally made. Yes, they are angry at us.
Right, and that, I mean, we summarized that report and several others in, the, in our recent survey, which is called Vicious Circle, but what you've just read is an example of a raid, and as I said, as many as 8,000 of those had occurred by the end. Now, of course, all of them don't correspond to the worst case, but many do, and we're talking about quite a few instances.
Well, we're talking about over 8,000 raids?
8,000 raids by the end
since of 2003.
By the end of last year, actually, the
okay.
end of 2004. And it's not just raids. There are regular street patrols. And Ken Delanian of Knight Ridder News Service, who is embedded with one of the units doing patrols, describes one. Again, it's summarized in our report. And what he said was riding along with the soldiers all day, that the soldiers pointed their guns at Iraqi civilians, who they called Hajis, their pejorative phrase, that the patrol rammed cars that got in the way of their Humvees, that they were very concerned about car bombs, and so they're always stopping, but they're screaming at, shoving Iraqis to the ground, searching people driving down the road after curfew, that sort of thing. How often do these patrols occur? 12,000 a week.
Let me get to one quick caller here. Marty, you have a quick comment or question?
Yes. What I want to know is it going to be easier for us to pull out of there because we already, it seems like, we're set up the puppet government and we're starting to get what American interests in there, and usually when that happens, we're trying to protect the American interests that are over there, and that winds up keeping the military over there that much longer. How much American interests are over there now?
How much?
There's a
and we have 10 seconds. We have 10 seconds here.
We're all over the country, and there's quite a few interests there, and of all sorts. As I said, 40,000 contractors are all over the country, and of course, the country is oil rich. So there's a lot of motivation to stay. What we need to do as ordinary citizens is say, the war was fought supposedly for our security. Well, if it's not producing security, then it's time to end it.
And that's got to be the final word. Carl Canetta, co-director of Project on Defense Alternatives. A website, please.
The website, you should just search for Project on Defense Alternatives and search using any search engine.
Very good. Carl Canetta, thank you so much for joining us on Mondays at 9.
My pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Liz Brown, I'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
He has an excellent idea of Osama's whereabouts, but he can't say because the U.S. respects the sovereignty of foreign nations. U.S. intelligence has said in the past that the Afghan-Pakistan border is a good bet. Former counterterrorism director and ABC News consultant Vince Canestrero says it's risky.